Blog Talk Radio.
Until
his name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
The ring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America.
Right.
But when did America ever bless God?
Right.
You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America
right
at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You some bitches get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power, black power, and more black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms and comrade in battle. This is Sean Kwali. Happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from the hails and the smells of North America. The hails and the smells of North America. It's my esteemed honor, I count it an esteemed joy and privilege to be able to talk to you in the black nation, in the indigenous nation, my original family, from this platform that we call and consider Black Power Radio, the most hard-hitting revolutionary radio anywhere to be found in the hills of North America and really all over the world. We have to open our show giving thanks for the almighty wise God and creator of our forefathers and foremothers who answers to many different names, all being the best of names. We're thankful for the God of our forefathers and foremothers who have laid a sacrifice and paved the way for us to make a positive step, for us to make positive steps and to not be in the tradition of servitude, but that we would rise up into our true history and our true herstory and our truest expression. We're thankful for those who have taken lives and who have also given lives in the cause of freedom and liberation. Gotta quickly thank every regimen, every Panther regiment of the Black Panther Party, whether it be from Lowndes County, Alabama, whether it be the Northern chapter that formed in San Francisco, or whether we're talking about the chapter, the early chapter that formed in New York City, or if you're talking about 1966. With two bold brothers, Comrade Bobby Seale and Dr. and Minister Huey P. Newton out in Oakland, California. We're thankful. And in all that we're giving thanks for, we're definitely giving a strong thanks for this beautiful, bold party that's standing today, that is holding the line today, that's going hard today, that has not backed down and compromised at all in this hour. We're talking about the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, giving honor to all of its founders and all of those who have paved the way for us to stand, and giving thanks to our Black Power General, our Black Power General who took the ball and took the flag of the red, the black, and the green, the name of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, and spread it all across North America and ultimately the world. And now that torch and that flag of that red, that black, and that green has been passed on to his national representative and national spokesman at that time, and now national chairman, We're talking about our big brother, the warrior lawyer, a man whom we were fortunate enough to be able to hear from at the Harlem rally, August the 13th. We were fortunate and blessed by the Creator and the ancestors to be able to hear from our big brother. And I have to say hats off and Panther salute to you, sir, the national chairman. You tore it up and tore it down. And as we're talking about our warrior lawyer, doctor and attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. And so this is Black Power Radio, family. And as you can clearly see on our dais and on our title, we intend to take no prisoners tonight. Let me tell you straight up. We intend to take no prisoners tonight. We done heard a lot of stuff. We're out here just like you. We see the internets. We see the blog talks. We see your YouTubes. We see your statuses, your Facebooks. We see those who's really down and those who's really with this cause and those who's really with our program and position. We know who you are. We also see those of you who throw a rock and hide your hand. Those of you who smile in our face, but behind the closed doors or behind the scenes, you're talking crazy about the new Black Panther Party. We also know about those who are out in the open. We know about those who are on a national scale or international scale and are backed by the white man and his propaganda machines, and they put and spew propaganda on our party. And so as my job as national spokesman, I got to go in and go at all of it. Got to go at all of it. And so I'm not going to do it alone. I don't want to do it alone. We got qualified leadership. And our national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, wants to make it known to the world that it's not a one-man operation. The Panther Party of the 1960s was not a one-man operation with Huey P. Newton, but that he had a cadre of male and female leadership that were able at any time to take the mantle and to run the ball of Black liberation into the goal. And the same is today in 2011. We have qualified, capable leadership that you will begin to see all across your TV screens, your radio, on the ground, in your community, in print media, wherever we can get this message out. And so tonight, it is fitting that we have to bring on this radio broadcast a brother whom many have heard a lot about, as our Black Power General teaches and says. You've heard a lot about him, but you really have not had the opportunity to hear from him. You've heard a clip. You've heard the chopped up pieces and stories and the botched up work put together by National Geographic to slander the new Black Panther Party. You've seen the clips and you've seen that which was put together by old Glenn Beck, and you see that which was put together by Bill O'Reilly. You see that which was put together by Geraldo. You see all of that. But here tonight on Black Power Radio, you're going to hear from us straight up. You're going to hear from Minister King Samir Shabazz, who is the new Black Panther Party National Field Marshal. For all of you who thought that we were going to play some punk move or make some punk move like some of you other organizations have done, I'm talking multiple organizations have done, and kick your brother to the curb or put your brother out or distance yourself from your brother, not embrace your brother, that ain't happening here. Minister King Samir Shabazz is in the new Black Panther Party in great standings, not good standings, in great standings and standing strong, and we're proud to represent with him. And also, I have to make this announcement early on in the outset of this program. Let it be known to the Black nation and really to the world that we have a new Southeastern representative here in the new Black Panther Party for self-defense. We have a new Southeastern representative, and that black man is a man who has been doing a hell of a job and a hell of a work here in the hills of North America, but in specific, he's been doing a great job in his city in Jacksonville, Florida. He's a brother who you see now working with his city and molding his city. He's respected in his city now. He's respected amongst the youth. He's respected amongst black leadership and city council. He is a man who is a man of his word, and when he says he's going to be there and he's going to show up, this is a black man that shows up. And we were fortunate again and honored to be able to talk with our brother and to coordinate with our brother over the weekend. And so I want to announce before the entire New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense and also the black nation and the world that our new southeastern representative of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense is none other than our brother, Brother Mikhail Sharif Muhammad. And we say black power. We say black power for you, Brother Mikhail, and congratulations, our new southeastern representative of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. And so this will be a open line Q&A. This is an open line Q&A. When Minister King Samir Shabazz comes on, when Brother Minister Mikhail Sharif comes on and myself come on, we're not cutting you no slack. You ask us what the hell you want to ask us. Ask us the questions that you think are going to put us on the hot seat, as our chairman says. Ask us the questions about our program, what our program represents. Ask us the questions about what our Day of Action movements are all about and what's coming up on October the 1st here in the hills of North America and all over the world. Ask us the questions about, are we an illegitimate party? Are we an illegitimate party to the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense? Ask us whatever you think you want to ask us. It's a Q&A tonight. It's a learning session. And from here on out, Saturday nights, according to our national chairman, will be Panther Night. And so we will be discussing Panther theology, not solely, but we will be dropping on you the Panther program on Saturday night so that you new Panthers, those of you who are newly registered with us or newly moving with us, that you will understand your program. And that you will know what's going on and you won't be an ignorant panther to your position, your program, and that you can defend and articulate your program in the best manner and the best position. And so I don't want to waste any more time. I don't want to take up any more time. I want to bring right on, hopefully we have them on now with us. I want to bring on our national field marshal. I just want him to start off and say a few words, and then right behind him, we're going to bring in our new southeastern representative for the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, Brother Mikhail Muhammad. And so let's bring our national field marshal right on to the radio broadcast. He'll introduce himself before we get off into this Q&A. And, Brother, we'll give you 5 minutes, sir. Black power.
Black power. Black power, Brother National Spokesman. Good evening, black family. Welcome to New Black Panther Radio Q&A session tonight, and I'm honored to be amongst you radio listeners once again. I'm just humbled right now to be a member of the baddest, blackest, non-compromising organization in the world. I'm just humbled to be a member of the New Black Panther Party under the guidance and the proper divine leadership of our national chairman attorney, Malik Zulu Shabazz. And I'm humbled to be a cub of a cub. I'm humbled to be a warrior taught by great black men and women who are non-compromising with this no good white man. So as our national spokesman said, a lot of you have heard about me, but you haven't heard from me. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But tonight is your night. Call in with anything you want to ask us, because we got to set the record straight. It's a lot of naysayers and boot-licking mouth-pooters running around disrespecting the name of our national chairman, attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. They're disrespecting the very work and the ideology that our black power general, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, laid before us. They're disrespecting the outright legacy of the Black Panther Party. So when you're walking around here talking about the new Black Panther Party ain't real Panthers. Huh? When you're running around here talking about, oh, we not inviting y'all to the Black Panther anniversary because y'all are new Black Panthers. You're not Panthers. Well, we're going to set the record the hell straight tonight. So all of you naysayers, bootlickers, wishy-washing Negroes, tonight is your night, buddy. So call up with all your questions. Call in with your disrespect because we're going to set the record straight tonight, and it's not just going to be a Q&A. It's going to be a no-holds-barred Q&A. And we just going to rock and roll respectfully. But when you call in here cooning tonight, coon bashing goes on. We're going to serve some justice, but we're going to show you love, Black people. And this is the way we have to move in this day. We can't sweetenize everything for you. We can't sit here and intellectualize every goddamn thing for you. Our Black Power General said somebody has to be strong. In his last speech, enough Negro stuff. Revolution is the solution. Huh? Somebody has to be strong. But in our strength, we have become comfortable being weak. So we got to break that mold up tonight, Brother National Spokesman. And I can't wait till our new Southeast Regional Rep come on, because that brother's fire. So we just going to deal with it the way we've been instructed. And, hey, let's have a beautiful time with our people tonight, Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power. Thank you so much, brother. You know you up to bat, so just stand by. We want to bring on now our newly crowned Southeast Regional Representative, who is due your honor and your respect, not because of his title, but because of his work and his commitment to this cause, a long-standing warrior and freedom fighter in this mission. Dear family in the radio listening audience, help me to bring to Black Power Radio your brother and soldier. This is Brother Mikhail Muhammad. Black Power.
Black Power. Black Power, giving all honor and praise to the one God, having his divine opportunity to serve black people and to assist our national chairman and attorney, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. I give everybody the greetings of Black Power. Hotel, assalamu alaikum. Free the land, all black laws for all black people. And so it is indeed an honor to accept this post and to assist our chairman and our National Central Committee in elevating and raising the masses of black people in the South and throughout America, even throughout the world. Black Power.
Black Power. Black Power, family. Black Power. And so, yeah, we want to go right ahead. We want to go right ahead. And I want to just say at the outset, that the number, for those that are listening, for those of you that are standing by listening, maybe by via phone, the number is 646-478-4447. One more time, it's 646-478-4447. And so, like our National Field Marshal said tonight, in the spirit of our Black Power General, as he did, this will be a no-holds-barred conference and conversation. It doesn't mean it has to be negative. We're talking positive as well. We're talking about the actual works. What is happening with the new Black Panther Party for self-defense? What is our purpose? What is our position? What is our plans? What do we intend to do for the black nation, black people? What do we intend to do and present to get free? We want to talk about all of that tonight, and we got enough time to do it. And so that's the number. And so I want to go right into the first call. And also those of you that are in the chat room, you're welcome to put questions in the chat room. You can put questions on my Facebook page or any of our Facebook pages. We're going in tonight. Let's go right into the first caller here. Area code 757-918. Your mic is open. You're live with the Q&A, New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, Black Power. All right, one more time, 757-918. Your microphone is open if you have a question. Hand was raised.
I don't have a question. I'm just listening.
Okay. All right. Cool. Cool. All right. Thank you for listening. All right, family. Well, let me first, Brother Minister Samir, let me just first go right to you on this, just to spark the conversation. I'm going to go right to you on this one. And I want to ask you on air, dear brother, what do you feel like is some of the misconceptions about you, who you are, and how you've been presented to the world?
Oh, man, where do I start? I got to find my book here, Brother National. Well, let me say this.
Deal with it.
For one, I do not work or been hired to work for this coon-ass president, Barack No Drama Obama. Some of y'all have let this cracker pump so much of mispropaganda into your brains. And I'm talking conscious folks too, so-called conscious folks, so much to the point where you actually think King Samir Shabazz is a hired agent who was protecting the polling places for Barack Obama. I am for the total destruction of white politics. I don't give a damn who it is running for the White House if their agenda is not for the race first, the black race first. He has no business running through the White House. So I am not a hired hitman or provocateur or any of that kind of stuff for the United States government of America.
That's a new one on me. They said that you were working for Barack Obama, huh?
Getting paid good money from the United States government, brother.
Damn.
And I don't see a damn dime of it.
Yeah, them checks
it,
don't.
I don't see it. The IRS gripped it before it even come to my door. So, hey, I am not that, family. Please stop letting this white man tell you about your people. Oppose what your enemy support. Support what your enemy oppose.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So in retrospect, Tell the people as much as you can, how do you support your mission? What do you do every day? How do you keep your mission going?
Well, I'm going to tell you like our Black Power General said, the people takes care of King Samir.
Exactly.
I cannot work on a plantation. What kind of fool would I be? This cracker is not going to fight me and feed me.
Exactly.
That's just crazy as hell. Let's just be real. But the people take care of King Samir. And I also have home businesses. I have an online mall. Y'all can go to www.rebelslaves.com. That's my work. That's my job. Rebelslaves.com is my job. Products are being added daily. Daily. And it's a business that's going very fluent. So I ain't broke. Well, I'm broke according to white standards. But according to the African principles and the balance of my odds, I'm a very rich man.
Exactly.
Very rich man. So I give praise to Allah to allow me to survive even without being on the white man's plantation. It's not going to work, family. Let's just be real. Can you imagine King Samir on the front goddamn register at McDevil's saying to you, can I help you today? Huh? With all these tattoos on my face, huh? With all this black power just oozing out of my bone marrow. Do you honestly expect to see me ask you, brother, may I take your order today, sir?
No, sir.
It's not going to happen.
No,
sir. It's not going to happen. So I get out in this field. And I do what must be done. I get up in the morning and be a responsible father, be a responsible black man, be a responsible member of the new Black Panther Party, be a responsible representative of our national chairman and our Black Power General.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. Brother McKay, let me bring you in here too, brother. You've been slandered in the media as well, brother. What's some of the misconceptions that have been said about you there in Jacksonville, sir?
Black power.
Black power.
Some of the misconceptions is that the New Black Panther Party is a terrorist group and a hate movement, and can nothing be farther from the truth. We are a revolutionary movement dedicated and predicated on elevating the minds and masses of black people and indigenous peoples. And so anytime we take a strong and firm stance, there's going to be much opposition, because the enemy, and I must say the enemy, and it's no good white peckerwood, has no desire to see freedom, justice, and equality for black people in the wilderness and hells of North America and throughout the world. So anytime the New Black Panther Party steps up to defend and protect, educate the masses of black people, because we're not integrationists. We're separatists. And I'm proud to say to the crowd, I'm a separatist. We have had 500 years in America to integrate with this no-good devil. And today we have adopted all the white man's bad habits. So anytime we stand up to defend and protect and serve the interests and best needs of our people, there's going to be much opposition, but the strong ones must stand up. There is no time for Panthers to back down and back away. Our former national chairman, Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, was an example to all of us. So we must gird up. We must get the strength back and become committed to our people. And our people will support us, and then we won't have to go on the white man's job. We won't have to beg and plead for income, because the masses of our people are yearning to be free. So down here in No Good Jackville, where a cracker named Andrew Jackson has his name, a racist no good devil who enslaved, murdered, killed men, women, and children, he has a city that honors his name. And many black leaders are cowards and punks today. In Jacksonville, we have a historic appointment of a black mayor, but he's more of the mold of Obama. Like brother said, no drama. Hussein. And today our people are angry. They are frustrated. So the New Black Panther Party must step up, must become more proactive, must become more of an example to the masses of our people. So we are a freedom fighting machine. And it is indeed an honor to be on board to help our national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, our attorney at law, and the National Central Committee, and all of our officers. And so, again, the New Black Panther Party is a freedom-fighting machine, and we won't be deterred today by negative media, weak Negroes, Toms and Thomasinas, brother. So, again, I'm honored to serve our people and be on the front lines of the revolutionary fighting freedom machine.
Now, let me ask you all this. Just over with your two answers you've given right now, it's very clear that the New Black Panther Party, we as a party, we take a hard stance against the white man and white supremacy. You all explain why. Are you racist? Does it make you a racist? Does it make you a crazy buffoon? Why do you take such a hard stance against the white man? The people want to know.
Well, let me say this.
All right, brother.
If we don't take a hard stand against this devil, hell, we're going to be on our knees for the rest of our lives. If we don't take a hard stand against the hardest beast on the planet, this cracker goes and kills every damn thing. So you can't go to a beast who has no respect for love. You can't go to a beast who has no respect for nature. You can't go to a beast who don't even respect himself as a beast with love. You got to go to that beast and deal with that beast in the most savage state of mind. Huh? So the New Black Panther Party recognize who our natural enemy to the universe is. The New Black Panther Party recognize who the number one murderer, the number one raper, the number one pillager, the number one child molester, the number one pedophile, the number one miseducator, all of these negatives, the white man is the number one at that. So our stance cannot be an integrationist stance if we're talking about freedom and liberation. The white man is not going to help you get free. Huh? John Brown did not help black people get free because he killed a few crackers. Do y'all know John Brown had a political agenda for himself as a white man, as all the rest of them do? So we must stand against our open enemy today. This is the same bastard who is still dragging black people 11, 10, 11, 12, 15 miles down the street. This is the same beast who is shooting down little 7- and 8-year-old black baby girls. This is the same beast who are dragging mothers out of their homes and shooting them 95 and 96 times. This is the same beast who is hanging young black men in 2011 by goddamn oak trees. This is the same beast who locked up 6 young brothers in Jenner, Louisiana, for standing up against the children of this no-good beast. This is the same beast, hell, who put a media attack against the new Black Panther Party to turn our people against us so then they can outright kill us. This is their everyday move, family. They did it with Martin. They did it with Malcolm and on down the line. So we have to recognize, first and foremost, where we are going today in, if we say we are in for the struggle of liberation. So we have to have an enemy if we are at war. We're so used to being at war with ourselves, we've become comfortable with killing each other. We've become comfortable with disrespecting and exploiting one another. We have become comfortable with fearing this white man. So as our black power general said, stand up. Look this devil in his cold blue eyes and dance the dance. Huh? So our stance cannot be an integrationist stance. Somebody has to stand on the principles of Africa. Somebody has to stand firm on the principles of Mayotte, and somebody has to stand firm on black nationalism and Pan-Africanism. The white man is the devil. He cannot be your friend. He cannot be reformed in any kind of way. I don't give a damn about a cracker walking around with a jug of beer and a goddamn kufi on his head. He's still the devil. I cannot get past the skin of this no good bastard. I cannot get past the ancestral lineage of murder of my people with this no good bastard. So I cannot and will not ever love any white man, whether they was born 2 seconds ago. I pray that Allah destroys every one of these bastards. Black power.
Okay. All right, brother Mikhail Sharif Muhammad, give your perspective on that. We have a different perspective.
Well, brother, my perspective is the black man got to stand up today. He got to stop being a coward today. He's got to fight for his rights, his manhood. The black man has lost direction today, brother. So we must study the history, study our ancestors and how they fought for independence and for freedom. And until we do that, until we get the coward out of our backsides, many of these brothers today, you can put a dress on them, you can put a wig on them, you can put heels on them, and they got no problems and no qualms, brother. But while we are fearful of our enemies, we're killing ourselves. So like brother said, we must stand up today. We must man up, because the white man ain't going to get tired of killing black folks. He's killing us all over the world, all over America. All we got to do is look at London, how black people stood up in London and put some fear in these crackers. And we don't want to put the fear in the white man anymore. All we want to do is smoke his crack, chase his woman, and become his woman. So a black man today has got to man up, stand up, and clean up.
Okay.
We got to do that.
I want to get to these calls. But I want you all to think over this. I'm going to ask you all the questions that they ask and that they're going to ask. Well, we want you to hold to this question.
Yeah.
Answer this question. What about the black people that are doing it in our own community? Answer that question.
What about the black people who are doing it in our own community?
Right.
Well,
we
have to create a solution to remove these kind of people in our community. We have to create a moral code Every hood should have a code of conduct. Every hood should have a code of moral standards. So if there's someone in your community who is against black-on-black love, if there's someone in your community who is against race first, if there's someone in your community who is against self-sufficiency as a nation of people, then he or she has to be dealt with, period. You're not going to go into these cracker communities and do what you want. When these crackers say they don't want a Walmart in their community, God damn it, these crackers don't get a Walmart in their community.
Right.
So we got to wake up, clean up, stand up, and defend our hoods. Because when we say black power means to define, develop, and defend. See, we can define and develop all day, but most of us are scared as hell when we talk about some defense. Huh?
Right, right, right.
So you got to defend your hood. You got to defend the elders in your hood. And it don't take much, little basic stuff. There is no way you say you're for our people, or even if you're in the street tribes or the street organization, there is no way the people in the community should be calling the pigs on you.
Mm.
And you say you're for brotherly love, oppression, and overriding destruction. Huh? You say you're for community revolution and progress. Huh? You say you Piru or GD, you this or you that. But the elders call the goddamn police on you every day.
Exactly.
So we gotta retwist that imbalance there. You should be helping the elders. The hood should be your safe haven, Huey P. Newton said. So we shouldn't stray too far away from our safe haven.
Good point. Let me break a call. Go ahead. Finish that point.
So this is what it takes. We got to start organizing, brothers, in the hood. We have to start organizing to make sure the elders on the block are taken care of. When the snowstorm comes and you out shoveling your snow, hell, you should be out shoveling the elders' snow as well. These are the kind of things that will start to help the people to respect you and what we say the new Black Panther Party is about.
Good teaching. Listen, let me bring a call in here. 813-770. You're on the air with the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. Your question, please.
Black power. This is Ali Muhammad, chairman of St. Petersburg, Tampa chapter.
Black power.
Black people will not get past this hole that we're in. They won't get off the new Black Panther Party until these motherfucking niggas stop getting scared of taking these crackers' food stamps, living in their public housing. If you take all that away from them, they will eventually fuck with the new Black Panther Party. But as long as they keep getting housed by the federal government, getting food stamps, all this WIC and all that, they're already trapped. Because as soon as they stand up, because black people, we need to learn how to stand up. Go downtown in front of them builders, by numbers. Look how they did in London. Them niggas over there stood up in London. They're burning motherfucking London down right now still to this day. Tampa, Florida.
Okay, so what's,
we go
what's
through
your
the
question?
Same shit they going through in Jacksonville, Miami. Miami 10 times worse. I just was down there. The whole country, black people need to stand up around this country. We look at, man, it don't make no sense how bad other people in third world countries standing up. And we over here with these fucking devils, and we scared to stand up. We're so hard.
Okay, so
what we got to do to make these niggas stand up? We got to drop a bomb in our own community, drop some
okay, hold
in
on,
our
hold
own
on,
community,
brother,
to
brother
make
Ali,
them
terrified
and scared and really see what's about to go down and what's going on.
Yeah, Ali, let me let them answer the question. Brother Mikhail, what do we got to do to make black people stand up in the community?
Well, brother, like brother said, the white man got to put his foot in our ass. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us we make no motion and movement until the white man puts his foot in our rear end. Right now, we're not dissatisfied enough, brother, so we must continue to educate, motivate, and move the masses of black people. And eventually, we're going to have that spot because as we're doing that, the cracker is cutting us off all over the country. He's cutting us off jobs. So down here in Jacksonville, now the Black Panther Party is now being heard by many who shunned me 5 years ago, who rejected Dr. Malik. Now they want divine guidance. They want strong black revolutionary leadership. And so we must educate, teach, and be the examples to the masses of the people. And that spark is on its way, brother. So I would tell you, brother, down in Tampa, just keep working, keep building, keep being on the front line, brother, and the people are ready for strong, revolutionary black leadership. Black power.
Right. One tactic that we here in Tampa right now, we got our own blog talk up and running, and our chief of staff, Sister Queen Michelle Williams, she's been running a blog talk every, like, 3 days a week, and it's getting on fire, man. I mean, you got to get these people calling in and listening to what's going on around. So we began calling outside of Tampa, inside, especially out of St. Pete. Over from St. Pete, you know what I'm saying? Black power to St. Petersburg, black power to Jacksonville. We know the struggle. Y'all got a black mayor that, and that Uncle Tom Big Harry, no good bastard, ain't doing shit for up there in Duval County for them residents. I just left out of Duval County. Miami, just as worse. We just all got to come together in one city after city after city and stand up and demand justice. We got to beat these crackers out of their own game. Put our foot in their motherfucking throat. Kill them bastards. From the police departments, the mayor's office, the county buildings, motherfucking food stamp office, we got to stand up in front of them motherfuckers and say, we don't want it no more. We want justice from injustice. Fuck you, crackers.
So Brother Ali, so, Black Power, so brother Ali, to answer the question, because we feel your frustration, to answer the question, you got to remain on the front line and win over the hearts and minds of your people. You copy?
Right.
All right, and so we definitely will. We're going to support Sister Michelle Williams. We want to arrange to have our national chairman come on the show in due time and give it a strong boost. So keep us informed of what's happening. We got to take the next caller, brother. Black power to you.
Black power.
All right, 757-333. You're on the air with Black Power Radio. This is the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. Give us your question, please.
Black Power, this is Queen Sheba. I got a question that it's time for us to have our own nation. We don't have to nobody have to rely on food stamps or government housing. It's time for us to pull together and work on our own housing, our own organization for food stamps and food for our people, and our own
right.
time to teach our people how to grow their own and have their own.
Okay, so what's your question? Is that you just making a statement, or what's your question for the party on that?
Our question for the party is, go out here and let the people know it's time for them to wake up. If they want their own, they got to fight for their own and work for their own. They got to work together with one another. Put money together. Don't take money and buy things that's unnecessary. Buy things that's necessary so we can have our own.
That's what's up. Hey, brother National Field Marshal, let me frame the question for Sister, because I gotta throw it at you. What is it that the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense is doing to build a nation for black people?
Well, right now, and that's a very key question. Very key question. Right now, sister, we are gathering at least 4 to 6 tons of clothing, school supplies, shoes, and whatever else is going to take to send to our brothers and sisters in Africa, in Senegal. Right now, sister, our national chairman has been blowing the white man out the water with our national days of action, April the 23rd, June the 25th, and the next one is coming up, October the 1st. So he's in motion, showing us how to properly build not only the new Black Panther Party, but how to build a nation, not only right here in white America, but to our family across the globe. So if you have family extra clothing and supplies and things you don't need, even furniture, and a lot of y'all got stuff in your house you know damn well you don't need, been there for the last 10 years collecting dust, let's send it on to Africa, and we're going to get more into that before the show is over with all the information, and we'll be getting right back with you. But these are just a few stepping stones towards building nationhood between black people here in America and our brothers and sisters in Africa, globally.
Not to mention land acquisition. The new Black Panther Party has its eyes and designs on land acquisition and cultivation at home and abroad. And so for those that want to know, right now we are right now dealing with representatives in Africa and those who are good at international trade for land acquisition and development. So if that's you, if you're good in that field, then you email us at nvpphq@yahoo.com, send in your qualifications. We need you ASAP. Sister Queen Sheba, thank you for your question. Go right ahead.
Let me mention
this.
Also,
yes, I want all food.
The sister spoke on growing our own food. We have the Black Farmers Coalition. Brothers and sisters who are growing their own crops, organic and healthy foods, right here in America. So we have people, our chairman is putting people, key people in the keyest of places towards our liberation, Queen. So we're on the move, where most of these other organizations outside of the Nation of Islam, and the Republic of New Africa, because they're all about land. But you have a lot of organizations who talk a good game, but the new Black Panther Party is doing the work in the game. We're doing all the
plans. We're
hitting all the home runs. We scoring all the hockey goals and hole-in-ones and 4-1, all that good stuff. Right now, Queen, we have the ball, and we scoring the touchdown every time we get it.
Yeah, that's Black Power. But I want all the websites so I can start shopping with you, getting everything I need to get from our people so I can help our people.
Well, you can start by going to www.rebelslaves.com.
That's the start to building a nation.
Rebelslaves.com. Sister Sheba, thank you so much. We'll keep you on standby in case you have another question. Let me get these other callers in here. 432-260, you're on the air live with the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. Give us your question, please.
Hey, Black Power, this is Sister Ira. First, I want to send a peace to my comrades, King and Brother Makil. I have a statement, not so much as a question, but we've been getting a lot of good calls, you know, with what we need to do. We need to get the people off the food stamps. We need to do this and do that. But all of that takes resources. And when you start asking Negroes for resources to help us build and fund these different programs, it's silent. You get nothing but crickets. You don't hear anything. Don't nobody respond back. But, you know, they want you to go out there on the limb. But in order for us to keep going from state to state, in order for us to build housing programs, lunch programs, school programs, and all this, we need resources. We don't just need strong talk. We get a lot of strong talk each week that I listen to this show. I listen to King's show. I listen to all over the Black Globe. I'm listening to stuff. We get a lot of strong talk. We get a lot of fire. But you got them same Negroes sitting around on their ass not doing shit when you ask them to send some money in. And
okay,
I mean,
so
it to all be on us, that's not fair. That's not right.
That's true. So
we can't hold up the whole nation just for free.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So let's frame a question. Let's frame a question, brother Mikhail. Why do you think it is that we've been so stingy in terms of giving towards these programs and giving towards that which would liberate us as a people? Is it a mistrust? Is it Willie Lynch? Why do you think that is?
It's a Willie Lynch. It's the fear of losing friendship with the white folks. It's a combination of factors, sister. So what we have to do, we just have to get on the ground with those who are going to work with us, those who will support us. Have to be honest with you, Sister Ira. The elites of our people are not going to support anytime soon until they're getting ready to be cut off.
Exactly.
Okay? Down here in Jacksonville, I have a brother that's been communicating with me. He's a former NFL player. Right now, he was working for Comcast, and he started receiving threatening mail, hate mail, and getting death threats, and they're harassing his brother. But you can imagine, before all that came, it was no need to involve the Black Panther Party. So, Sister Ira, our people will be forced to unite, forced to pool the resources that we will have left, And only then will you see a change. But right now, we can plead, we can beg with the elites of our people, the Oprahs, the Bill Cosbys, all of those that we, not in the Black Revolutionary Movement, encourage our youth to imitate, emulate, and idolize, sister. And so these are the ones who have the money, the power to help those who are helping their people, but they are fearful. They refuse to be a loser. And if you rub elbows with the new Black Panther Party, rub elbows with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and any other Black Revolutionary Movement, there's a price to be paid, sister. So I experience it on a daily basis. In Jacksonville, I rub elbows with prominent Blacks, and after one time, sister, I never hear from them, and I never see them again. So our people will be forced to unite. So, sister, be patient. Continue to do your work. Our time is coming, sister. We're on the threshold of a change in America, a revolutionary change, Black power.
Another thing, yeah, and another thing, brother, I appreciate that. Another thing, it's not so much as resources if the people would start giving their time. If we had half the people that call in on these radio shows to even give their time, to even show up, you know, for events. You know, we should have hundreds and thousands of people the way we have hundreds and thousands of people following us on our social sites also. So, I mean, even if you don't give any resources, you can give your time. Time is free.
But, Sister Ira, again, I'll take that statement. Down here in Jacksonville, what we're getting ready to do, we're getting ready to start a youth mentoring program where we can educate and teach young Black men and young Black women, because in my daily travels, I encounter many who are very scholarly in the academics, but they have no clue of history. They have no clue of themselves, and they function other than self. So these are the ones that we have to reach and we have to teach. We got to start ground up, sister. I mean, I have to be honest. Our elders and those in the middle brackets, many of them, but our children can still be reached. They can be brought back into the fold, and they're going to bring in the change, as you saw in London, England, Black power.
Black power, brother, and while we're reaching our children, you know, we're reaching and we're talking to them, teaching, we need to be a living example, too. We can't be teaching them the things that we're not doing.
That's right, sister. I totally agree.
That's the truth.
So we have to
That's
be that
truth.
Example as well, that living example, that living vessel. But again, our youth are ready. It just takes strong, committed, principled leadership that won't be bought out, won't be sold out, and won't be cowed out. Black power.
Right on. Black power.
Black power. Sister Ira, thank you for the call, sister. Thank you for the call. Let me go to a private call here. This is a private number. If you're not, if you call in block, I'm going to put you live on the air. Send your best shot. You're on with the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. Your question, please. Okay, private number 111. You're on live right now. Give us your peace. Give us your question. What's your question?
Can you hear me? Okay. First, I just want to say that I saw a few things on the internet with King Samir Shabazz.
You sound white. Are you white?
No, I'm not.
All right.
But don't judge me.
Right.
Don't judge me before you hear me. But anyways, I wanted to say that I really respect and I feel completely honored that you guys are, like, in the front lines and you're there for the rest of us. I think it's completely brave, and I just wanted to say that, you know, that people see you, and it's really respected. Like, I love that you guys exist, that you have the spirit that you do. The next thing I want to know
Thank
is, are you guys coming to Toronto?
We would love to, sister. Could you
Canada?
Open the door for the new Black Panther Party in Canada? Can
well,
you make connections?
I think that there are people here that are interested. You know,
Hello?
I think that there are people here that would, yeah, I think that they're, you know what it is? It's a lot of miseducation.
Of course it is.
The Black people that won't support the cause is because they don't know that they should. Like, they are so blinded that they're Black on the outside, but they have the mentality of, you know what? Like, they have the mentality of a non-black person.
Of course, an Oreo,
so,
light on
it. It's all right to say cracker on Black Power Radio, sister. It's all right.
I don't like that. You know what? I'm not a fan. Like, I'm for us. I'm for us 100%. And that's it. That's what it is. Like that's what it is. I'm not like we all have our different seeds, and we're all out here to do different things.
Right.
Some could do it with more aggression. Some could do it with philosophizing and, you know, more conversations one on one with people. But I just speak the positive
front,
for so. Us and
Right. We need
Go
a black
ahead.
United front, so all of us must unite. The scholars.
I agree. I agree.
The freedom fighters, the revolutionaries, the skillsmen.
I agree.
Those were economic.
So I have a question.
Here's an actual question. That's what we want.
Okay.
We want your question. We want your question in. So
okay.
To
so
call.
Here's an
go
actual
right
question. So obviously, because of the state of the world economy, many black men have to like get jobs outside of the plantation. We already know what it is. The corporation,
yeah.
Plantation, same thing.
Yeah.
So a lot of these men that get jobs outside, and like let's say they get jobs on the street, they're, you know, self-employed, so to speak.
Yeah.
But their self-employment is kind of screwing up their own neighborhoods. Do you guys have a module or a package or some kind of formula for how to transition a business from point street to point, I don't know, economic building, like a job that, you know, do you see what I'm saying? Do you have a formula
for
of how to flip things?
Corporation, you're saying?
No. Okay, a lot of guys hustle,
basically,
and they got a lot of money from that.
Basically, your
do you
question
have a
for, is
like,
if, can we take somebody off the street? Do we have a program or something concrete that we could people, brothers off the street who are selling drugs into something more positive for the community?
Precisely. But more like, okay, they're businessmen. They're businessmen is what it is. So more like a module to, like, obviously everything is about improvement, right? So do you have a module that where something tangible where somebody could be like, yo, they don't want that hard life. So if they actually knew where to put their money, for example, one of your the agricultural efforts that you were talking about or something like that,
right.
If they knew where to put their money, then they could do that. Like everybody's just trying
right.
to survive, you know? And for the people
right.
that won't pitch in and give money, like I'm not calling with a bunch of excuses. I'm just like looking at it from like I'm in the mid, like I'm looking at it straight. And it's because they're broke. It's because they don't, you know what I mean? And it's a mentality, too, because that broke person would still go and buy a nice purse. So
yeah.
I know it's
but
a
see,
mentality
but see, that's
thing
why,
as well.
But wait a minute, that's where we take variance, because that's the slave mentality. Us as a people, regardless to what the economic condition of the white man is or this society is, we have, for the most part, traditionally struggled economically here under capitalism. That's regardless to what's going on with white America corporation or whatever. But we've still managed
mm-hmm.
to, and for the most part, have our own necessities, food, clothing, and shelter as best we can. Many of us put children through our educational systems or what have you. Whatever the family structure is, we've made it as best we can. And
mm-hmm.
so with that said, to answer your question, I would say this, that what we're doing is we're trying to take the young black male or the young black female who, as you say, is flipping things, which we're teaching them to take that mathematics and use it towards something productive, as you're saying. And with this Day of Action movement, in terms of our agricultural systems that we're doing with Brother Ridgely Muhammad and so many others across the country, we're putting young black boys and girls and those who are in that type of life, that type of hustle mentality, in those kind of environments. We're taking them away from the environment of the community, or you know, the savages in the community, and putting them into the
mm-hmm.
agricultural field, putting them into the, you know, to the do for self program. I'm trying to get it out to you perfectly. All right, so putting them into the agricultural field, and then putting them into a position to do for self, they already have the natural skill, since they're already flipping it. They already have the natural skill to make money. We're just pulling out of them what's already in them. That's all we're doing. So we're not trying to
rechange them, not trying to take that away. We're just pulling it out and putting them in the right kind of environment. And so that's what these Day of Action
I have another question, another really great question. Okay, biracial children, biracial kids, people that are there. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's real, right?
Go ahead.
Like,
go ahead.
Everything that I'm saying right now.
I
want to
answer that, too. I want to answer that, brother. So go ahead, sister.
Okay, so the question basically is, okay, so biracial children that are somewhat, okay, now they're at the point of what, they're in their 20s, early 30s, whatever, and they're European mothers that that may understand our cause. What about those people? Like, not saying that is priority, because obviously priority is, you know, strengthening ourselves as a community and as a people. But along this journey, there are some alliances. Like, I saw a photo with Asiatic.
With who?
Yeah. Forgive me.
Your phone is breaking up. Or the government's messing with your signal. We want to know what you're saying here.
How is this now? Can you hear me?
Go right ahead.
Yes.
Go right ahead. Okay.
You're having some problems.
Losing signal. We're going to probably have to come back to you. The question now, though. Go right ahead.
Oh, you can't hear me. Please go on. I asked the question. It was really about biracial children and anybody that would be considered an alliance, because they understand. They don't see us as fearful. They understand that, they understand the cause.
Okay,
so Sean,
let me ask
you
that question.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The question is for the audience. The question is, what is the new Black Panther Party stance on biracial children and our alliances? Go right ahead, sir.
Brother, if they're mixed with a black man or black woman, they still black, even though they have a racial mix with white people. Myself, 20-plus years ago, I was involved in an interracial relationship. I have a daughter, a product of that. My daughter, I never lost contact. I continue to teach her. And my daughter today is part of the movement. She's in law school, and she wants to use her skills to help black people. Even though her mother's Caucasian, she understands that as a product of her father, she's a black woman. And so we have to reach those. They're our people. That's our family, sister, no matter what product.
Okay, perfect. Understood,
uh-huh.
Understood. Now, my next point.
But wait, hold on one second, because I want to answer that part as well also.
Okay.
Go ahead, bro.
Go right ahead, sir.
Sister, this is King Samir speaking to you.
Hello.
I, too, have, I can't even really say a biracial child, because he's blacker than black.
That's right. That's right.
His mother is a product. She is herself a mulatto, if you will, for the lack of better terms. I don't like biracial and all that kind of stuff. It sounds gay. Sounds very freaky to me.
That's right.
So she is a mulatto, and her mother is white. But this mulatto teaches my children the knowledge of themselves, because she herself has the knowledge of herself and knows and understands that she is the mother of civilization.
That's right.
Which is very rare. If you really knowledge the history of mulattoes, it's very rare that we get one or two or maybe 20.
That's
all
right.
Especially in this day and time. I'm just being real with you, sister.
Okay? Yeah, brother.
But as the brother said, yes, you are still black. And even one of your favorite presidents said it, 1 ounce of black blood makes you black. So nowadays you got more than 1 ounce, which is obvious. So the black gene is the most dominant, masterful gene of any gene in this universe. The atom itself, which created life, is
yes,
out of
sir.
The essence and the root of the black man. So if you look at my son and all of my children, my beautiful black African children,
that's right,
they have the knowledge of themselves and they know the root of their family. Unfortunately, their grandmother is a cracker. Unfortunately, their great grandmother is a cracker.
Yes, sir. Let me also say, just to add on with that, that it's got everything to do with what's being taught and the mindset that's given to that child. Because let me tell you, as we're clearly saying to you on Black Power Radio, we believe that Barack Obama is a cracker in blackface. We're telling you this on Black Power Radio.
That's right.
As our national,
you know what? And the Obama
thing, honestly,
for
the white man.
Honestly speaking, let me just drop this.
All right, and so we're talking about what's being taught to the child, and we're talking about the genetic dominant gene that's in that child. That's what we're talking about here. And so to give it context, the Black Power General, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, he talked about Master Farad Muhammad, who was the teacher of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who came from a biracial circumstance. Okay,
mm-hmm.
He talked about him who came from a biracial circumstance, and he said that if he had to pick up Master Farad Muhammad's mother, he said that he would not disrespect his mother. He said he could not give her any more respect than the son gave. And it was Master Farad Muhammad who taught us in the black nation here in North America that the white man is the devil. Farad Muhammad's mama was white, and he taught us the knowledge that the white man and woman are a race of devils. Okay, so that's something that you all got to wrestle with out there in the radio listening audience, and turn it over for yourself and look at it historically. But if a biracial man, Farad Muhammad, is bold enough to stand up and talk about the history on his mama's side, then we got to be willing to say that it's based upon what a person is being taught, and he was taught by his father, a black man. So let's give it some real context. Go right ahead.
Okay, so I was saying something about Obama. Thank you for that.
Last question. Go ahead.
Hello?
Go right ahead.
In regards to, I feel that y'all are puppets, and y'all, most of us know that politicians are puppets, right?
Yeah, okay.
And most of us know that he's not the first black president, right? And so I just feel that he's in office. The background might not represent what we're going for, but the fact that his face and who he is as a black male is up there, I just don't feel that he should be bashed every 2 seconds. That's all
I'm saying.
We don't
bash him every 2 seconds. I think we should
have a way of unity about us. And I feel we should focus on us and our positive efforts and what we are about, and leave the knick-knacking for like other people. We should be about the movement, straightforward.
You're
this
right.
is what we're about. This is what we want. I love that you guys are in the front line. Like, I certainly am not that frontline type of female, like, you know, but I just feel that bashing, like, that's another layer of separatism, like bashing him. Like, We don't have no choice but to bash him.
He represents the enslavement, incarceration of our people, and white supremacy. We're against white supremacy.
Yeah.
So just because he has a black hue or a black man, you know, a black shade, if his ideology is white supremacy, we are 100% against his position. 100%. So it got nothing to do with bashing him personally. Got everything to do with what he's heaping on our people. The black community has not improved in the hills of North America, nor Toronto, Canada, since this man has been in office. Period.
What's happening on October 1st?
October 1st, and it's the last question. I want to get the other calls in. October 1st is our third international and national day of action, which we're organizing the black community together to do something positive, something constructive and positive for black people on that day. And we have a website. It's called the Day of Action Movement. dayofactionmovement.org. You can log on, get involved, and if you want to bring us and form a chapter there in Toronto, Canada, our email is nbpphq at yahoo.com. We thank you so much for your question. We hope that we've got it over to you in the best manner.
You answered my question. It was wonderful. Shamir,
yes, ma'am.
Shabazz.
Thank you, ma'am. All right, all right. So thank you
Black
so much. All right, and y'all don't know if that was a sister, but we hope it was. Well, listen, I'm just going to tell y'all that we're taking calls from white people, too. I'm telling y'all, we're taking white people's calls, too. All right, let's go to the next caller, 504-235. You're on the air with the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. Give us your best shot. What's your question? Black power.
Black power.
Black power.
Black power, brothers and sisters. How y'all doing?
Black power, what's going on?
How y'all doing,
good,
brothers and sisters? Well, basically, brothers and sisters, I heard that conversation. Nobody really asked the sister for a number. He gave out a number. It seemed to me that we should stay in contact with her because basically she'll be good in a debate. Like I said, when she said that, I'm not on the front line. Well, we know that. We can tell the way she sounds. The way
she
talks, she's not on the front line.
Let me tell you something, Reverend Brown. Though, but I'm just telling you, Reverend Brown. But behind the boards, she didn't call in with an open number. I told you, I announced it. It was a private number. We don't know if that was no. Everybody keeps saying that's
like,
a sister.
No,
I mean,
no
disrespect. If she is a queen, then okay, cool. But I'm just saying we don't know that. So all I'm saying is
you know
our
what?
Job right
she
now
raised,
is to answer the questions.
She
huh?
raised a very valid issue.
All right, talk to us.
The valid issue is this. Is that the biracial young people, our people, some of our people are biracial, some of them don't want to be identified with us.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Now, if you,
yeah, that's
if,
true.
Even, let me say this here. If you come down south in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, you really can see it.
Yes, sir.
Some of the high yellow mulattoes do not want to be identified with dark-skinned people.
Right.
Well,
they go in the line to the left, and that's the line for the coon.
Okay, that's
coon
it.
Line to the left.
Right.
And the slave master sold mulatto children too. Let the record reflect: the slave master wasn't just selling dark skinned slaves. The white man was selling his own product, the mulatto babies too.
And I agree. The fact of the matter is. Our mulatto, if you want to call them that, like Brother Shamir said, they're not mulatto to me. I don't play that stuff about mixed biracial. My issue is this, is that either they're going to be identified with Africa, they're going to be identified with struggle and revolution and the black culture, or they're not. And let me tell you
right.
something, that's a valid issue. Because you know
yes,
why? The reason why I say a valid issue, because they use those mulattoes and high yellow people right here in Louisiana to oppress us, and then they go back to get all kind of money, positions, pass dark people up for positions. The majority of people on TV are light-skinned, high-yellow, so we got a big dilemma in this color thing. It's very
right.
important that we stop. And this is what I'm saying, brothers and sisters. It's very important that we get this stuff out the way because guess what? You know, it was left up to me. You understand? And I'm going to tell you the God's truth. That if it was a brother in the Nation of Islam, looked just like a white man. And it was questioning his identity. Everybody said, who is he? Questioning his identity. You understand what I'm saying? And the brother knew. The brother marked
yes,
me
in
Gina, Louisiana. No. Let me finish. The brother marked me in Gina, Louisiana. The brother looked just like a white man. I mean, at every, his hair, eyes, lips, nose, ears, every damn thing. You understand?
Did he
what
have
saying?
Blue eyes, brother?
He had the damn blue eyes, and he could have been an infiltrator. But when he spoke, brother, you know he came straight out of Africa. Because when he talked like us. He smelled like us. He damn sure didn't look like us. You understand what I'm saying? And look, well, brother, I'm black as black. Y'all saw me, my picture on Facebook. I'm black as black. I can't pay.
Yes, sir. So, Reverend Brown, do you have a question that you can pose to the party for the listener audience, or you just want to make that statement?
Well, basically, the party. Well, basically, I believe that the party is heading in the right direction. I really believe, and I'm sick of people attacking members of the party who say they're black nationalists. But I'm saying that if you are in alliance with the party. You cannot be in a line with us, then attack us on Facebook. That don't make no sense. The brother called himself gold something, attacking brother Shamir for what? If both of y'all fighting for liberation and fighting for in a revolution together, how can you be in a revolution together and y'all divided? And this ignorant brother who attacking his brother, I've been called up there, brother, y'all, let's stop this infight. Now, I want to quickly state about, sister talked about people not donating toward the movement. I'm going to be honest with you. I know some brothers that are in the rap game. Brother Shamir, you listening? I know some brothers in the rap game with big pocketbooks. They go to jail. They get their ass whipped. They run around here giving money to Boy Scout clubs and white organizations. We need to get with them and say, look, and I don't want to throw out no name because, as you know, but some of the brothers is getting paid very well. Okay? We need to ludicrous on them. Let's draw one name. We should get with them. Hold on, laugh, brother. Don't laugh, because it's serious. Brother, don't laugh. The brother is making big money, ludicrous him, and brother Hashim knows ludicrous personally. Ain't no way the Black Panther Party should have no money when you know one of the biggest rappers in all time. You know,
most of them rappers be slaves, man. Let's just be for real. Most of them rappers, slaves.
But Ludacris also sleeping white girls.
Nigga, be a slave. I'm talking about you going in your pocket, giving up some money. Be a slave, but still be a boss.
Well,
if run around and suck up the white man's ass, you still give up something.
Well,
if Ludacris is
listening, brother, if you want to make a donation to the New Black Panther Party, we will accept it gladly. We'll appreciate you. And give
showing your Africa video of how you went to Africa and all the dancers got all around you beating the damn drums. We don't care about that. We're talking about you putting some money. Come on, you going to buy some land. And you saying, look, brother, I bought these 50,000 acres. Y'all do y'all some farmland, build y'all some house. Don't talk about, I'm a black man. I love the black queen. Y'all saw the damn video. I act like you saw it. And you got black leaders who can pick up the phone and call him.
Whose video? Ludacris video?
Yeah, he had a video out in Africa and all that.
What does that got to do with anything, though, Reverend? I don't get your point.
No, what does that got to do with it is that if you can take and you can use Africa as a cultural background for your video, then you got some kind of knowledge of the diaspora.
Okay.
Should take that and invest that in the black race.
Like I said, we open. I'm open. We'll sit down and talk with Brother Ludacris and whoever. If he's open. If he's open. Y'all brothers got anything to say on that?
Name out.
I'm going to say this. Ludacris is a goddamn boot-licking, buck-dancing, effeminized black woman, man. All these faggot rappers in the game right now is not giving up no money to help the liberation of black people. Let's just be real. They not. They scared to lose their white girls. They scared they can't get another date with Penelope. They're going to lose all their contracts and their endorsements with Nike and all these other faggot fashion companies and all this good stuff. Come on, man. If so, Reverend Brown, they would have been did it black. So it don't matter how much, it don't matter how many more times Ludacris sit down with our national chief of staff, he ain't doing it, man. He's going to continue to make cooning music to keep our people degenerate.
That's
what he's getting paid millions to do.
Yeah, let me say this to Ludacris. Ludacris, leave the money in the bag by the door and walk away. How about that?
That's right. Period. Don't leave no paper trail. Don't leave no paper trail. Bottom line. Leave the bag. Get the rolling. Or have your limo driver drop it off.
Because I'm still on.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead. Yes, sir.
Okay. Brother Shamir, would you please take one of your CDs and send it to me, brother? I'm tired of this business. This dead You understand? Then you destroy my community. I need someone with some life. Can I get some brother on this phone and sister to really say life? We need some life in our community.
Go to www.rebelslaves.com.
Thank you, Reverend Brown.
Black Power, Black Power. Let me get these other calls in here. But yeah, Ludacris, I'm serious, and that's any rapper in the game. If you controlled by a contract and they got you in that slave position, just leave. If you want to donate, you can meet us somewhere, leave the money in the bag, and walk away. We'll appreciate it. Give you a receipt if you want. Let me get this number in, 240-464. You're on the air. The New Black Panther Party for Self Defense, Black Power. Give us your question.
Yes, sir. We are happy to hear you. We are pleased that we have done the effort to move out this weekend and return safely to your home. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power.
Assalamu alaikum.
The network in the universe for Black Revolution, and we're just happy to be a part of that network. Again, as we focus on our local objectives and move it out in all directions for Black Power, include Africa in your network. And especially we're moving
right.
with Senegal, but we're moving with the Ivory Coast. We're moving with Guinea, other parts of Nigeria, Gambia. We're moving again to Ghana, West Africa, and reaching out hard and strong to the people of Uganda because, again, they took a lot of this uranium up out of there. So we want to look at all of those different things that are going on and include Africa in your struggle. In your heart
exactly.
and mind, you should
you got
to rededicate yourself to Africa and move on it. And you'll find Africa. There's 17,000 Senegalese living in the city of New York. There's thousands of Gambia in the city of Atlanta. And we should be networking to see how we can import and export and move out as the predecessor, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He traded as a nation.
That's right.
He traded in all organizations, in all local, local.
Right.
So get your vision broad and inherit that legacy, that spirit, that generator, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad.
Exactly.
Use your
exactly.
social and legal skills like you see your Malik Zulu Shabazz. Move ahead and aspirate. You might represent one, but current like you got a million like Farrakhan.
Right, that's
you
right.
You don't see Elijah Farrakhan and Colin and Malik doing it. Damn it, just don't do it. But dude,
exactly.
you see someone just you can do a portion of what they do. You have jumped the moon in your local objective.
Exactly, exactly, exactly.
It's just a spirit. So I don't want to belabor that, but my question to you as a panel. What do we see as far as reaching out to Africa? What do we see the New Black Panther, but what was the major role that you see? We're going to move to 6,000 pounds. We met in New York with, we'll have several local ambassadors on the ground in New York. We got a shipping place, a place to store up and receive in New York. We got a place to store up and receive in D.C., and I'm going to speak for King Samir. I'm going to speak for Louisville. We have a place to receive goods that will be shipped to Africa. Louisville, that we got on this line. We got Philadelphia on this line. Look how that network is. And New York.
And Jacksonville.
We've got
on the line.
It's just so great. So how do you see your role as tying this knot in bringing yourself in the loop with Africa? That's my question.
Well,
I see it since we
say we are the vanguard of our people. We say that we love Africa. We wear Africa on our new Black Panther patches, on our right arm and on
our uniform. Right.
That's right. So if the white man could spend and sacrifice his monies and clothing and food to crackers in Germany, if the Chinese could send goods and clothing and food and education and all kinds of nurses to Japan and China, then who are we to say that we cannot help our motherland?
Exactly.
The root
exactly.
of our civilization.
Exactly.
What do we look like wearing our home and not taking care of our home. That
That's
would
right.
be as backwards and ridiculous. And if we're not moving into the mindset of reaching back 9,000 miles, back to Africa, reaching back mentally, you're not going to swim your 9,000 miles, as Master Farah Muhammad teaches, but you can swim your 9,000 miles mentally. So as we're gathering up resources, Sister Ayira, as we're gathering up resources, sending them home to our brothers and sisters and mothers and grandmamas and cousins and uncles, then this is, as I said earlier, just a stepping stone towards liberation and independence for black people all across this world.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Praise be on earth. So as we go, and as I lead you, brother, I just want to give you all just the strongest support possible of any radio network or broadcast. This Black Power Radio is strong. But I'm going to say that
sir,
as you go on your local, as you move on your local strong, carry the United Nations and United States of Africa strong. Call, I personally call one currency in these United States of Africa. Ask them to move on this thing in a way that they will bring solidarity to black people throughout the planet Earth. And this will be a change in this universe, and we'll know that that is freedom, justice, equality for black people, and it's hands off Africa and black power for black people.
That's right, and black power.
Let me ask something, Brother Shaw.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, brother.
Brother Mikhail Muhammad, Jacksonville, Florida, Southern Regional Chairman.
He gonna lay it all out. Go ahead, Black.
We're going to do down here in Jacksonville. We're going to put flyers and go door to door, ask our people for donations. A lot of our people are stockpiling clothes and shoes that they don't wear. So we're going to start within our community by advertising, asking those to support the campaign to help our family in Africa. I think that's one of the best ways we can do going door to door as well and building a relationship. And if we do that, we'll get some support. We may not get all the support, but we will get a coalition of blacks who want to help and give us support. And I believe that the chairman's direction is the right way to go, because we have to have love for Africa. Africa for the Africans, for the Asians. And so we must concentrate on home and abroad, black power.
No yes, doubt sir. About it. And I'm saying this, that what we're doing is from the heart. And
yes, sir.
I wish we was in the same position to get like $1 billion, like what the Nation of Islam got, or a million, however much, I don't want to misquote, but some money from my family overseas. And so as we support Africa and build a relationship with Africa, white man listening on the phone, the enemy, all that, guess what? They're going to support us here on this soil too.
That's right.
And so
yes,
you give us just half of that. Just give us half of that and watch what we do for black people in the hells and smells of North America. Yeah, let me put the ADL on blast on that. We are connected to the motherland of Africa. We got representatives there right now. So stand by, stay tuned. All right. 805, let me see here. Let me make sure I'm getting them in right here. 862-944, you're on the air with the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. We're asking for your question. Give us a question and what you want to know about the New Black Panther Party. Peace, Black Power.
Black Power, brother.
Black Power.
Black Power.
This is Divine Universal from out of Irvington and Newark. I'm in the Newark chapter of the New Black Party.
Brother Divine, Black Power.
Yes, sir. Peace, Black Power. What's your question, Divine?
What is the stance for the members in the New Black Panther Party about the Freedom Party? We're supposed to be about spirituality, cultural, and political, but not many of us are willing to take the initiative to take back the control and being more politically active in our community.
Okay,
so I think there's a huge, huge problem that not many of us are politically active.
Divine, you talking about the Freedom Party, the New Black Panther Party? Who are you talking about, sir?
The Freedom Party. That's the,
okay,
that's the political
at,
structure that,
yeah,
that, me, that is falling underneath conscious brothers towards real revolution and political structure.
So I'm trying to get the question clear. So you want to know how come more Panthers are not active in the Freedom Party?
No. Being more political. And our five things, we're supposed to be spiritually, culturally, and politically active.
Okay, so how come more Panthers aren't in the area of politics?
Yeah, okay, let me answer that very quickly, if I may. And I know Brother McHale wants to get in on that also. Well,
yeah.
Brother Divine, I would say, Brother, this is King Samir. I would say, you know, it's yes, we are supposed to be politically conscious. But conscious doesn't mean active. You understand what I'm saying? There is a difference between the two. You can be conscious that you're bleeding, but sit there and bleed to death. You understand what I mean? So because we're politically conscious does not mean we have to be politically active. Me, I'm against politics, especially when their agenda is not for black people. Now, we have a few Panthers who have run for the political structure, and I voted for them to the greatest of my ability or supported them because I knew for a fact, an actual fact, that their agenda was for the greater good of black people, and it wasn't no sellouts with them. Brother Charles Barron runs the Freedom Party. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay,
yes, sir.
So yes. Yes, brother, yes, I support Brother Charles Barron. I support the Freedom Party because I know Charles Barron ain't no sellout. But,
right.
And at one point, brother, I was actually thinking about maybe running for, you know, a little city council seat, something small just to piss off some Peckerwoods. You understand what I mean? But it's to each individual. I'm not a political man, but I know how to run a political structure due to being and trained in the Nation of Islam, being and trained in the new Black Panther Party. So
that's right.
I know what it takes to raise the mindset of the people in politics. But everybody ain't for that. You understand what I'm saying? We have to be politically conscious, yes, but politically active, there is a big difference. But even though we should be going to the city council meetings, we should be going to the legislation meetings and different things of that nature. But if that's not you, you send one of your comrades who are, you know, more capable of dealing with that. You know, me,
yes, sir.
I can't sit in one of them meetings all day, seriously. So I'll send my chief of staff. He's in the political realm. He's a ward leader, and get ready, you know, I'm getting ready to make him run for something bigger now to step up his game. You see what
that's
I'm saying?
Right.
So he can sit in those political realms all day, gather up the information, and do what's necessary.
Yes,
bring
so
it back to headquarters, and we can know how to move with our 9 local objectives according to the political structure of the new Black Panther Party.
Go ahead, sir.
One thing, please. When you first got knowledge yourself, brother, when you start adding on these plus lessons, man, it's not something that we just have to hold on to. It's about putting it into action. This is
mm-hmm.
this is my problem, that we're not. I'm not even speaking. I'm speaking on our African people in general.
Okay.
Don't want to be active, and I'm saying if you really want to be politically conscious, man, a lot of that is about putting forth some real action.
Okay, let me just
yes, sir.
I hope, and I want more of us to be more politically active.
Okay,
in being conscious, we need to be more active.
Right.
Mikhail,
yes, right.
Get in
you're
there. Get in there,
Mikhail. You're absolutely right, brother. But everybody don't have a political niche. Some brothers
right.
and sisters are better out in the field. Some brothers and sisters are better behind the desk doing administrative work. Some brothers and sisters are better at the political stuff. Some brothers and sisters are better with the medical. You see what I'm saying? So,
indeed.
But this is why I just said, if that's not your department, hell, send one of your comrades to deal with that department if they're capable.
Let me add something to that, King Samir.
Yes, sir.
Question. It seems like he's looking for someone to lead. Why don't you step up, brother? We're having all the knowledge, brother. Why don't you step up and become politically involved, brother? We were talking about the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. If you want to see change, step up, brother, and lead. And that's the way you start, brother. You know, down here in Jacksonville, prior to me coming in the New Black Panther Party, our traditional black leaders have been bought out and sold out, and I was dissatisfied. And I would always complain about the political leadership, the spiritual leadership, and the so-called revolutionary leadership. All of them was being handpicked. And so I stepped up and got involved, brother, and started the process of change. So if you're really committed to the process, brother, in my journeys, I meet a lot of brothers in the knowledge, but there's few warriors that's willing to stand on the front line, brother. When you step up, brother, you're going to be vilified. You're going to be hated. You're going to be slandered. Even your life's going to be on the line, your livelihood, brother. So the question is, are you willing to step up? And if you are, brother, step up and go to work. And take
care of it. You will have our full support, brother.
Yes, sir.
Let me get right in on that though, because it's not so plain like that. When you talking about politics, brother Divine, you got to make it known what you're talking about. Right now you're talking about plantation politics, okay? Because we're Panthers, and we're taught as Panthers that everything is politics. Everything is political. Politics is the determination of who gets what, where, when, and how. You see what I'm saying? So when you look at our 10-point program, and we're talking about we want freedom, we want full employment, we want tax exemption, we want decent housing fit for the shelter human beings, and we want our black people when brought to trial to be tried by jury on peace, and we're running this down to the people, that's political, brother.
Everything
that we're doing, everything that the party is doing is a political move, everything, because we're dealing with food, clothing, and shelter, and your open 6,000-year-old enemy doesn't want you to have the necessary tools and things to get for you to survive. That's period, because they run things by capitalism. So it's all political. Just as the Black Power General said, and our national chairman has taught, going behind a glorified shower curtain and checking off a box is not political activity alone. That ain't free. Not nobody in the black community. Not one person in our community has been completely revolutionized and free just by checking off a box. So that tells you that's not the end all. That's what I'm saying. That's not it, Divine. That ain't the end all. It's good. We respect it if it does something positive. Then praise is due. But that ain't the end all, black man.
Copy that, brother. Thank you.
Yes, sir. All right. Let me get the other call in here. Let me get this other call in. I'm thankful for Brother Divine for stepping up and saying that. Let me see. Let me get you in here. I don't want to lose you all. 267-632. You're on the air, Black Power Radio. Give us your question on with the new Black Panther Party for Self Defense, Peace.
Oh no, that's not needed though. It ain't needed.
267-632. Your mic's open. Go right ahead. Your question, new Black Panther Party. All right. We're not ready here. We gotta keep it moving. All right, let's go. 904-828. You're on the air at the new Black Panther Party for Self Defense, which is an open line Q&A. Your question, Black Power.
Yes, Black Power. My name is Lady J.
All right, Lady J. What's your question?
Black Power.
My question is this, Black Power. My question is this. I mean, I hear all the talking, and it's like the sister said earlier, we're doing a lot of positive talking and everything, but I'm just wondering, really, because I'm ready to fight, and I'm tired of it, I'm sick of it, and I'm fed up. And I see a lot of other people that's my age that's fed up as well, you know what I'm saying? But I feel like we don't have no outlets, and we're not really, we don't got no guidance, and we're really looking for somebody to follow, but we really want to follow ourselves, but we don't know how to follow ourselves in. It's like we kind of lost, and everybody always say that we need to do something, but we don't know what to do because the things that we've been doing ain't working. The things that we've been trying ain't leading us nowhere. We despair, and we want a way out, but we looking for a way out, and we feel like, well, it's everybody saying the right thing, but ain't nobody showing us no real action, no real way out of it. No real
that's
way
an important question. That's important.
Let me take that
so
question.
So let me ask you this, sister. What is a real way to you?
I
what are you
I,
looking
I just,
for to happen to say that, okay, somebody's doing something now.
I'm looking forward to us as a people actually separating from these crappies and actually doing these things on our own. Our people came over here knowing how to cultivate the land. Our people came over here knowing how to sow. Our people came over here knowing how to take care and clothe and build homes and do all of these things themselves. And it's
okay.
Like we don't know that. We put our talents in basketball. We put our talents in football. But we expect these people to do something for us, but they never do anything for us. And
that's all right. Let me say this to you, Queen. Let me say this to you, if I may.
You got the youth in the hood that got that fire. They're ready to go to war. They always killing each other, so they ain't scared to shoot.
Exactly. All right. Let me say this to you, Queen.
Calm down.
Sister, trust me.
Yeah, but I mean, it is that serious.
Every bit of your pain right now, Queen. Trust me. But let me say this to you, and I'm gonna give it to you. I'm gonna give it to you in a few different ways, so I make sure you understand what I'm saying. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches, sister, that when you stop eating pork, okay, it takes 7.5 years. Listen to me, sister. Just listen. When you stop eating pork, it takes 7.5 years for your red and white blood cells to regenerate into formative cells again. Okay?
That's right.
Now, due to the process of post-traumatic psychological slavery syndrome, sister, that we have been generationally processed in, this dream that we all are looking for, Queen, is not going to happen overnight. It is going to happen. It may not even happen, even though we're being led for it to happen, but it just may not happen in our generation, Queen. It may happen in our children's generation. It may not. You understand what I'm saying? So we're all looking for that overnight unity, yes. But right now, sister, in a world of reality, that is a fantasy. So what does she do right now?
What does she do then? Since you're telling her it's a fantasy,
it's not gonna
what does she do?
I'm going to tell you right now. You take some folks who are like-minded in your community, in your hood, in the vicinity. You may have to travel 30 minutes to go sit down with a sister or a brother. And you start to organize, sister, as I told the sister earlier, start to organize amongst yourself. Build a black liberation army amongst yourself, and you take it from there because you obviously know what it takes to raise the minds of our people in your community, in your hood, and in the vicinity. So it has to start at home, Queen. So you get with some like minds and you formulate a plan of how you are going to make things work the way you want to see it happen. And guess what? That's not going to come overnight.
Jessica, let me ask you that, King Samir. The sister that just joined the new Black Panther Party in Jacksonville, and as I'm leading my sister, change starts with self and the example, and I believe she's on the right path, but she has to have patience because when you rush, you make technical mistakes. And so she's on the right path, but change starts with himself, and then we deal with others, Sister Jessica. And so you're on the right path, but you have to learn patience because there's no overnight sensation of change here. It's a process in reducing the black man and woman to a slave. So once you understand that we're working, we're planting seeds, and those seeds may not germinate until the third generation after us. But lay the foundation, Jessica. If you lay the foundation, then eventually we'll see some problems. So you're on the right path. But our new generation cannot lead themselves.
Lady J, what city you in, sis? What city you say you was in?
Jacksonville.
You in Jacksonville? Yeah. Then you got to link up with Mikhail. Then see, the thing is, the new Black Panther Party. We not trying to have no possession over people and be like this is our flock. We trying to empower people to affect change in our community where we live. So if you in Jacksonville and Mikhail is in Jacksonville, and you got other people that's in Jacksonville, and y'all all feel the same way, then y'all got to all come together and work on the same issues. That's how we do that.
We're working on it, and like I said, it's just called patience. A lot of times our youth don't have patience. They make bad choices. They wind up 6 feet deep. So, Jessica, again, we got to learn patience. We got to learn structure. Then we take the information. We empower self and people around us, and that's how we bring in a complete constructive change. But it will not be overnight, Jessica, but you do have to have patience.
You can't fix everything. We the new Black Panther, we are not under no illusion. We don't think that we're just going to fix everything in a 24-hour period. We're just going to pass out a couple of flies and black people are going to start killing each other. This stuff takes work, Lady J. This stuff takes work. And so that's why with your passion and that and the talent and time that you can give, we need, you know what I'm saying, whatever time, talent, and effort you can give to this 400-year-old problem, because it's going to take us all to get in.
I mean, I'm giving my time and I'm giving my efforts and I have patience. I just would like to see us do more than just say that we need patience and do more. I would like to see us actually reach these youth as misguided out here, because it's sad to see. It's sad to be a product of. It's very sad, and every day it's heart jerking and heart wrenching on me to see this in myself and to see this in our youth that are not even 10 years old, not even 5 years old sometimes, to see the despair in their eyes when they wake up every day knowing that nobody is providing a way out. It's sad.
Let me ask you this, Lady J. What is the last thing you have done to change that condition?
What is the last thing that I
don't think that's a fair. Wait a minute. I don't think that's a fair question. I don't think that's a fair question to her, because she's trying to figure out what to do.
No, I'm not asking in a debated form. I'm asking for a very specific reason so I can show her something.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, what have I done? I currently make music, and when I make music, I don't sell my music. I make music for young women. I have a song called Woman Warrior. It's to teach women and inspire the young girls coming up to know that they have the power to do these things. They have the power to control their own fate. They have the power to control their own destiny. That's how I reach people. That's
okay,
what I do.
I also have a
husband that's in the prison system due to injustice as far as the police go and the corruption that's in the police force and behind all of the sheriff's office here in Jacksonville and how they do that. I'm supporting him and his legal pursuit in order to get freedom. He's going through his appeal process right now, and I'm supporting him financially and supporting him spiritually, giving him the encouragement and the belief that he needs to know that he can make it out of it, and it will be okay. That's what I'm doing. And I also encourage you to make an effort to feed and clothe and protect and do my body the way that I need to do my body. If I'm not saying it right, but if you get what I'm saying, I'm doing what I need to take care of me and make sure my health is proper and make sure that I'm eating right and make sure that I'm feeding the right things into my mind so that if I do decide to have kids one day, they become aware of these things at an early age and already have that instilled in them. That's what I'm doing.
Okay, so I asked you that, sister, to show you that guess what? You've been doing the work already, sis. You've been doing the work, okay? But you have to be patient, Queen. Trust me, I was told the same thing all the time. You got to be patient. You're too fiery. You just calm down a little bit. And once I started listening and maturing, I saw what the elders were telling me. Be patient. That's not saying just sit back and twiddle your thumbs.
That's right.
That's saying still be active. You understand? But this is, like the brother said, this is over a 400-year process, Queen. So it's going to take about 800 years to get out of this condition.
Condition, right.
It's really longer than that. It's longer than that.
Right, but let me show you, Brother Samira. We're having an event in Jacksonville to save young women and black girls. Sister's going to be on that program. She's going to be delivering that music and that message. So what I want her to do is sharpen her craft and be ready. When September comes, she'll be able to resurrect some of those young sisters in the community. So you have a gift, Jessica, and you have to use your gift, your talent. But if you get frustrated, impatient, you'll fall out of the process, and you won't be a help. You'll be a hindrance because you'll fall away angry and flustered. And I'm a witness. I've seen many come in with the same spirit, and many fall with the same spirit. So you have to have patience, understand this is a long-term situation, sister. But if you get impatient, get frustrated, you're going to fall out of the circle. You won't be no help to anyone, not even to yourself.
Sister, Lady J, what you do is start building your survival packages. Start storing your water, Queen, your old newspapers and different things like that. Start preparing yourself and your family to survive.
Exactly.
Music, sister, and you perform anywhere the hell you can perform. Because if you have a message that's strong to these young women, they need to hear your message, Queen. So if that's if that's where you fit in this army, as a fellow musician, sister, I'm telling you, get in where you fit in.
That's right.
I got to get these other questions in.
That's your weapon, right? That's your gun right now. So you can fight this cracker with your gun on that mic, sister.
That's right. Get
in where you fit in, Queen.
Lady J, we riding with you. Make sure you link up with Brother Mikhail, and like I say, make sure you keep in contact with us. We riding with you. We feel your frustration, and most of us is a part of that generation. Many of us are part of that generation and feel it the same way you feel it. Just know that when you listen to us and when you're looking at others that are out here that's actually, trying to put something together, just know it's not hopeless. It's not hopeless, and we're not going through nothing that the elders and those before us ain't went through. Ain't nothing new under the sun. Ain't nothing new under the sun. They went through it just in a different time period, and we're going through it in our time period. And it's up to us to build off of what they left us and solve our condition today. All right, so we number love for you, Lady J. We're going to get to the next caller. Black Power, Queen.
Okay, Black Power.
We appreciate it. I appreciate that. We got a question. I got to keep y'all on the hot seat, man. So y'all get y'all some water. The radio listener audience, this comes out off of the Facebook page. One of the Facebook pages, the radio listener audience has heard you all repeatedly say the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches such and such and so on, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said this, and I said something about Master Farah Muhammad earlier, so y'all going to have to answer, and we're going to have to answer why you keep on talking about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and is every member of the New Black Panther Party a Muslim in the Nation of Islam? Are you all trying to make the New Black Panther Party a secondary offshoot of the Nation of Islam? We're going to talk about that. What's happening?
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad is my teacher. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the man that woke me up from being a buck dancing Negro with cracker whores all over my wall, ceiling and under the bed and everywhere. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the man that took me out of a condition of being dead, lifeless, shiftless, lazy, ignorant, niggardly, cowardly, and just being a buffoon to my race. No, everybody in the New Black Panther Party is not a Muslim. We have Rastas in the New Black Panther Party. We have Hebrew Israelites in the New Black Panther Party. We have Christians in the New Black Panther Party who believe in a black Yahshua. Let me put that out there. We have folks who just worship incense and rocks and water and all kinds of stuff in the New Black Panther Party. We got damn fools in the New Black Panther Party. So we're not based on one ideology other than black nationalism and pan-Africanism. We are
so
not.
How come are we trying to be?
A second.
How do we predominantly hear about Elijah Muhammad?
Say again, sir?
I said, so why do we predominantly hear about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? Why are we not hearing? Well, I'm just giving you a question. Why are we not hearing more about Dr. John Henry Clark and Ivor Van Sertima? Do we even talk about him? Do we talk about Marcus Garvey? Do we talk about others besides the Honorable Elijah Muhammad?
Well, we talk about all of our ancestors. We talk about Harriet Tubman. We talk about Queen Yasantiwa. We talk about Queen Nzinga and Queen Hatshepsut and all of our ancestors. But me personally, I speak of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad because that is my foundation. Even though I'm no longer a ranking file member of the Nation of Islam in a suit and bow tie, but I still give respect to all of my ancestors when I think of something great that they left behind that is a great jewel that helped in my growth and development. I always speak of the name of the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey, and hell, even our national chairman. I always give props to our great warriors and leaders other than the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. But at the same time, you got to give props to where it's due. Hell, this is a man we're talking about who raised people out of a dead and lifeless state of mind and being. So who am I not to give praise and respect to the man that gave mental rebirth to me? I still give praise and respect to my physical father, even though I did not meet that man until I was 21 years old. And after that, he was shot in the head by a dirty old cracker. So I still give praise and honor and respect to where it is due.
Okay, so what's the answer to the second part of the question? Are we trying to be a offshoot? Now, I read this a lot. When they write things about the new Black Panther Party, they'll say that we are offshoot of the Nation of Islam. Are we an offshoot of the Nation of Islam?
No, sir. We are not an offshoot of the Nation of Islam. The Nation of Islam does not carry weapons. The Nation of Islam is taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad to carry nothing, not even a penknife, because they believe in the will and the faith of Almighty Allah. We, the new Black Panther Party, we believe in God and the gun. So we're not an offshoot of anything. We are the new Black Panther Party, and there is no other new Black Panther Party other than under the guidance of Malik Zulu Shabazz. We work closely with the Nation of Islam because our Black Power General was a member of the Nation of Islam, a very profound member of the Nation of Islam. So we don't look at Islam from a religious perspective. We're taught, even by our Black Power General, to look at and study everything that we deal with from a nationalist and a Pan-Africanist perspective. So we are not, again, an offshoot of the Nation of Islam. We are the new Black Panther Party. There is
okay,
a big difference.
Brother Mikhail Sharif, your thoughts, sir? Brother Mikhail, you still with us? Brother Mikhail might have stepped away. But I hope that answered the question. We do. Family, for those that are listening, we are taught by the Black Power General and our national chairman, Dr. Attorney Malik Shabazz, to study everything from a Black liberation perspective, And so when we deal with any of the spiritualities, we deal with spirituality from a respectful position, We are Black nationalists. The new Black Panther Party is not a religion. I want to just be frank. The new Black Panther Party is not a religion. You don't come to the new Black Panther Party to debate religions or to debate, religious philosophies. You come to the new Black Panther Party to talk about Black nationalism, a land of our own, freedom and independence, Black laws for Black people, controlling Black economics in our community, dealing with the, like I said, the 10-point platform, our 10-point program, the basic food, clothing, and shelter of the Black community. That's what the new Black Panther Party is founded on. But we know that we are a spiritual people. And so one of the things that the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad saw in his assessment of the Black Panther Party of the 60s was that it removed itself from spirituality. And since the beginning of time, our people have been involved with our own spiritualities and customs. and we have to be reunited with our own spiritualities and customs. And so if you're coming from an Islamic perspective, if you're coming from a Christian perspective, or if you're coming from a Hebrew perspective, or whatever your perspective is, we respect you here. But we're saying that you have to have a perspective that reflects you. When you think about your higher power, you got to also see yourself. You got to represent you and your blackness. It can't be a white supremacist ideal of what they told you that God was. And that's the difference. But we, as the National Field Marshal said, we're not an offshoot of anybody. We're our own organization. We give honor and respect to all of those that are standing up. But we have a voice and a program of our own. We have a voice, a platform, a program, leadership of our own. And then talk about this too, Samir, that the new Black Panther Party is not just ran by the national chairman, Dr. Malik Zewishabazz. We are a central committee. So for those of you that believe that, you know, when you hear Sean Kweli talking, or you hear Minister Samir talking, or Brother McHale talking, that represents necessarily the entire party. That's not necessarily the case all the time. You have just like you have in the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, those that will speak their own opinions. You'll hear Minister Samir say, I'm speaking for myself. You'll hear Minister Sharif say, I'm speaking for myself. We have our own opinions, but when it comes down to the program, that 10-point platform and our 9 local objectives, we carry it out the same way across the board. It doesn't change. Okay. We're for the freedom of our people. It's freedom or death. Go ahead, Brother Minister Samir, your thoughts on that.
Well, we are who we are, you know, and to believe it or not, family, we're not even an offshoot of the Black Panther Party.
Talk about that.
I have to say that because let me put this out there. There's a 45th anniversary. Let me get this flyer here. Let me pull it out. Let me make sure I'm correct. The 45th anniversary of the Black Panther Party, October 28th and 29th, 2011, at the Hilton Hotel in Philadelphia, PA. Keynote speaker, Bobby Seale. Now,
okay.
I was told that the new Black Panther Party is not even invited because we're not Black Panthers. We're new Black Panthers. So whatever the hell that means.
Okay, keep going.
Some of these people really blow themselves in their own head because now you're doing exactly what the white man expects most of our own people to do, create a division where our national chairman has worked to bring and bridge the gap between the haters in the Black Panther Party and to create an understanding and bridge the gap and now create a more tightly knit bond between the elders of the Black Panther Party and the youth of the new Black Panther Party, which is one and the same. The ideology is a lot different, but at the same time, we're one and the same. And I have to put this out there. So now you're running around here creating goddamn division all over again when our national chairman has already bridged the gap. So now you're playing the role of goddamn CIA, FBI, COINTELPRO. Huh? Now you're playing right into the cracker's hands, and it's a damn shame. How do you not invite the new Black Panther Party to the 45th anniversary of the Black Panther Party in Philadelphia?
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
These are the things that we continuously deal with, but we do the work. So
it's
for
weird.
All the naysayers who are still hating and still naysaying and mouth Putin, match our work. And it's not all of them. It's not all of them, because, hell, Brother Sean, you know, most of them are with us. Brother DeRubra, Brother BJ, Brother Bullwhip, Sister Barbara Cox, and many others.
Right, Brother Shep.
Before I even started this Philadelphia chapter, I sat down with the original Minister of Defense of the Philadelphia chapter of the Black Panther Party, Reggie Shell. And if y'all go and read the Fuck Whitey's Christmas article in the Philadelphia Weekly Jews paper, you will see me standing there with the Minister of Defense
giving honor and respect because I know my position. I know the part I'm supposed to play as a young cub coming up under this revolutionary banner of Black Panther Party. So I sat down with Brother Reggie, and we had a beautiful time. And I still keep in contact with him. I still make sure I go see him, sit down with him, make sure he's okay. We respect our elders.
That's right.
But some of you elders are getting the hell out of line because you're constantly disrespecting the youth who's going to basically carry on your damn legacy. Because you've been sitting around comfortable getting paid by the local city of Philadelphia. And I feel like calling the goddamn names out. Because it's sickening. And until we get past the niggas mess, and I really hate to say that, until we get past the Negro stuff, we can't really deal with anything. We can't talk about unity. We can't talk about repatriation. We can't talk about reparations. We can't talk about liberation until we smash the nigger mess, man.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
constantly
true. Okay, you want to what?
Dividing and conquering, even amongst our own people, and it's sad, but we're revolutionaries. And we have to change Willie Lynch in our own brains.
Right. McKell, weigh in on that. Go ahead, McKell.
What is the question, brother? Repeat it to me.
Yes, sir. We're talking about are we legitimate? Well, the first question that came off of the Facebook was why do we always talk about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? Like we several times tonight mentioned the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but the person feels like we haven't adequately talked about Dr. Ivor Van Sertima or Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey or do we talk about other leaders and scholars outside of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as a part?
Well,
that's the first question. Then the second part was are we legitimate Panthers? Are we as the New Black Panther Party legitimate in our Panthership?
I'll take the first question. We may invoke the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad's name the most because he gave us the greatest blueprint. We love all of our scholars, our elders, our freedom fighters, our sheroes and heroes, and I take bits and pieces of their information and I use it in my everyday struggle to liberate the masses of our people. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Marcus Garvey gave us the best example, and they were successful, so we always follow the successful ones. We do put too much energy into religion, but the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was not just a religious teacher. He gave us a blueprint for freedom and independence, and if we would just follow the blueprint and unite, pool our resources, we could alleviate a lot of our problems. So it is not anything wrong with invoking his name. He should be honored, but we should honor all of our teachers, leaders, and scholars. Getting
would
to the next.
Would you be so happy if we mention Lil Wayne all night?
Well, Lil Wayne gets his press too much, and he's not doing anything in the minds of our youth every day. So
that's right.
It's time that we lift up the real freedom fighters, those who sacrifice life, limb, and even their freedom. These cats, as rappers, entertainers, and athletes, they're comfortable in their gated mansions. I had a brother that I was friends with. He works with the Coast Office. Coast Guard, he makes over $200,000. He would always call me when he saw us doing work in Jacksonville, but the nigga never gave us a dime. He always made false promises, but he always wanted to be in and represent, oh, I know the Panther leader, I know Malik, but he never gave a damn dime. So, brother, we should lift up the name of those who truly sacrificed, who taught us, and who was long-suffering, and who was successful. So, we make no apologies for invoking the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's name, but we do respect all of those who have contributed to the upliftment of black people. Now, getting to the second question, the New Black Panther Party is the legitimate hires of the struggle. There's no other group.
How do you figure, though?
Because we have fought, we have suffered, we have been vilified, attacked, we have gone to jail. More than all these other groups, we had a bold black man, Dr. Khaled, that gave his life, that fought day in and day out, never retreated. I don't see any other revolutionary movement that has been consistent like the New Black Panther Party. You have those that talk in quiet, you know, behind the doors, but we're on the front line. We put it all out. Brother King Samir putting it all out, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, other sisters and brothers in his movement, myself included, we have paid a price. So anyone with this notion that the New Black Panther Party does not represent the black nation or the Panther Party, it's just basically sour grapes, because we have suffered the most. We have fought. We have been attacked by the Justice Department. We've been attacked by the President. We've been attacked by Congress.
Go ahead.
The president in Philadelphia suffered much, but he's still on the front line. So many of these are envy. Every sister and brother, they're jealous. I call them revolutionary cowards. Many in Florida I run into. They got a lot of knowledge, but they don't have a heart to stand up and fight. They want to put all the work on Minister Farrakhan. They want to put all the work on someone else. But I always say, brother, you got all these concerns. What are you doing? You got all the supreme knowledge. You can debate with the best, but we don't see your works. We beg, brother, to come out on the front line. Stand with us. Go in these communities. Reach our youth. Teach our youth. Be a model and a mentor. Can't get you on the front line. No time. But you got a lot to show when we do the work. I don't like how the Panther Party respond to the police. You shouldn't say things about the police. I had a brother who once was an FOI. Called me last week and say, I didn't like the way you spoke out against the police department. When you made comment that it's going to come a day and time when black people rise up, that's going to be a price to be paid for killing our people. And he wanted me to tone down my position. I said, brother, I could never do that. I represent the masses who are dissatisfied, displeased, who are fed up, brother. If you're comfortable with your plantation job, okay, you go right ahead, brother. And so me and the brother had a disagreement. I said, brother, in all due respect, I love you, but brother, you've been disconnected for years, so now you want to give me advice. Well, brother, you're doing a good job. I don't need your support. I don't need your advice. I told them I'd take my instruction from Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
Okay.
The New Black Panther Party represents the legitimate black community and the revolutionary struggle for freedom, black power.
Yes. Yes, sir, and I'm a weigh in on it just quickly, because we got some more questions in there that we are like the fourth development of the Panther Regiment, and I have to say this, because you know you have those who consider themselves Panther historians, and that's fine. You have those you know who rolled in the '60s, and that's fine. Let me tell you all this: we have membership in the New Black Panther Party that was around and rolling during those times, and as I talked about earlier, that our brother Shell, we just seen him in New York the other day in Harlem. He is a mentor. He is a mentor to this party, a member of the NY 21, Panther 21.
That
don't get no more official than that. He's a mentor to this whole organization and even our national chairman. Okay, when they had the Panther 21 tribute last year. We were there. We put the benefit on, Divine Allah, and all of it. Put it on. We did with our national chairman. We did that. I didn't see none of these other so-called Panther scholars and organizations. Y'all wasn't doing that. We put the tribute on for our comrades. So I'm saying this to you all like this: that the Panther, as taught by Minister and Dr. Huey P. Newton, the Panther represents the people. The Panther specifically represents black people.
Right.
And so the Panther ideology is that every 5 seconds in the ghetto, a Panther is born. That wherever there is oppression, wherever there is tyranny and terrorism and the things that we face in our community, you will have a Panther regiment that rises up and fights against the oppression and the opposition. And so we're in 2011. We're not in 1966. We're not in the 60s. We're in 2011, and the conditions of our community have not improved to the standard that they should. They have decreased and gotten worse. And so, of course, this regimen of the New Black Panther Party would have to have a harder line and a harder stance than what the Panthers had in the 60s, because we have different obstacles. The Panthers of the 1960s did not have to face the crack era. They didn't have to deal with it like we have to deal with it. They were right on the edge of it. They were militarily defeated right as crack and Reaganomics was hitting the black community. And so the new Black Panther Party, we have to deal with it in a modern context, in a modern situation, and we have to look at history and see the mistakes that were made by our predecessors and those before us and not make the same mistakes. And so the way that our national chairman, the National Central Committee, and us as an organization moves, it is based upon what we see from the past and where we want to go in the future. We want a nation of our own. And so we stand on that. So, yes, I would say that we are absolutely 100% correct in adapting the policy and the procedure and the stance of being Panthers. And we ask that those of you who are looking and those of you who are on the sidelines and those of you who are wondering, come learn about what we're doing, why we do it, and learn how we're successful in organizing in over 60 cities in America. And going to do it again on October the 1st. So let's get to the next question here. Next question, they want to know, this is again off of Page, why did you all on this show encourage, it seems like you all encouraged biracial relationships. The person says it encourages self-hate and that anyone not birthed by a black woman is white. And, okay, so that's they want to know why it seemed like they feel like it came across like you all were encouraging biracial relationships. What's your all stance or what is the position on biracial relationships?
Give me the lead on that one. Give me the lead on that one, brother.
Go ahead.
My daughter, brother, and sisters are all those who are confused about our position. It's from the seed of a black man. My daughter is more strong than those who come from the seed of black men and women. So, yes, it's not good that we integrate and intermix with our enemies, but a lot of us make these mistakes with a lack of knowledge. So we should not blame the product. We should blame the victim, which is ourselves. We're victims, and our children are the product of our being victimized and being miseducated and not taught the proper knowledge itself. But if I come into the knowledge as a black man, that's a helpery, should I be penalized? And so it seems to me like people are saying if you have a interracial product of a child, that child can't be part of the revolutionary struggle. Look at Huey Newton. Look at Bob Marley. So for all those who would make those statements, they are contradicting themselves. Many of those people love Huey Newton. Many of them claim to love Bob Marley, so would you have a problem because Bob Marley came from an interracial product? And so many of us, our ancestors were raped, and we have some type of European, you know, genetics in us, but should we deny our blackness? Should we sit on the sideline and say, well, you know, because my grandparents were rapists, should I not be a black man? Should I deny myself? Should I deny my people? So, no, we're not here encouraging integration. Intermixing with white people. We believe in complete separation, but first you got to teach the people the knowledge of these things. If a brother don't know who's the true black queen, then he's going to have problems. If a sister don't know who's the true black king, she's going to have problems in her selection far as the mate goes. So now we're not encouraging integration, intermixing. We believe in being pro-black, but we understand that our people have been affected by the elements.
Let me say this.
Go ahead, Simon.
Let me say this. We would be damn fools to sit up here and talk about we encourage biracial or whatever the hell you want to call it relationships. The basis of this conversation tonight from beginning to end was about African people.
That's right.
First, but you have those who are, as the brother taught about, have done things in their lives with a lack of knowledge, but they have a product out of that.
Before
now,
the Panther Party.
The mother of my children is a mulatto, black woman, with a white mother and a black father. The product out of that black woman comes a black child.
That's right.
And many other black children. So we would be foolish as hell to just start telling y'all, try to even promote the smallest of thoughts, okay, to go and just go buck wild with some
biracial relationships. Hell no. The Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey, for those who always say we always talk about Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey said, it is an outright disrespect to your race, to your mother, and even your grandmother to bring a cracker home.
That's right.
To lay down in the bed with Penelope.
That's what he said.
I've never in my life slept with no damn cracker and will never in my life plan on doing it. Because I know that is the destruction of the black race.
That's right. Huh? That's right.
I'm not running around here trying to find some cracker to restart the history of Master Farah Muhammad.
That's right. That's right.
What the hell kind of foolishness is that?
Yeah,
Marcus
that's wild.
Garvey said Africa for the Africans.
That's right.
And in Africa, there were light-skinned blacks. There were dark-skinned blacks. There are almost 32 shades of black. Did y'all know that? But if you study, if you don't study the sciences of your body, for those who say they have the knowledge of self and don't even know how many times your eye blink, you seriously got some studying to do. How you say you got the knowledge of self but don't understand the science of your DNA and genetics?
That's right.
Huh?
And we got some more college until we got to get them in. So
all right, so let's go ahead. I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah.
We're not promoting that foolishness.
Yes, sir.
We free, we free, but we got to hear from you and from the people.
Yes, sir.
Let me try to get this call back in. 347-737. You're on the air with the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. It was an open line, no holds barred. Give us your question. Peace, Black Power.
Hey, peace, Black Power.
Black Power.
I have two questions.
Come on with it.
All right. My first question is this, right? Now, like Lady J was speaking earlier, she was like, you know, how we're not seeing things like really being affected and changing our community, right? And how it's been going on for years. Honestly, I feel like a lot of things that we do is just like wasting time. I mean, I don't know, like how we're going to have like big rallies and everything. But then, like, someone could be right on the very same street hungry, but we don't have no food or nothing for them, but we've got big rallies going on. Like, if we know, like, a lot of our leaders are, like, actually, you know, paid and bought for, why don't we, instead of, like, trying to work with those leaders, why don't we expose who those leaders are?
If we know that the leadership is paid and bought for, why don't we expose them, you saying?
Right, instead of, like, you know, saying, okay, I want to, because I really feel like that's a waste of time. If you know that person already paid and bought for, why not expose them? Like, you know, why waste time trying to work with them when you know they're not going to do nothing for real?
Let me ask you this.
Who are you talking to? Go ahead.
Yeah, give me somebody in specific you're talking about, sister.
I mean, you got a lot of them. You got a lot of them that's paid and bought for. You
know,
all right,
name one.
You got Al Sharpton, that's one. You know,
okay.
Louis Farrakhan wants people to study Scientology and all these different things. I mean, like, I just don't get it.
And so you wanna know why the party? How does it relate to? I'm just trying to be clear. How does it relate to the party on that? Because we don't
promote. How does it relate to the party on
anything
that?
Like that? Yeah, we don't promote,
like,
Scientology,
like,
though.
Right, we don't promote that, right? But we would work with people that do promote that stuff. What I'm simply saying is this, right? In order for us to see things truly affected and changed, we have to stand righteously, even if that means standing alone. You know what I mean? Because a lot of these people, I mean, all right, you're having a big rally for what? You mean to tell me all that money that you use for a rally, you can't take that money and sponsor schools for us? You can't sponsor housing for us and things that we really need?
Okay, so let's be clear. You're talking about the Harlem rally the other day on Saturday?
Yeah, that's one of them. That is one of them.
Okay. Well, I mean, on the Harlem rally, of course. Now we didn't put the Harlem rally on. I'm just gonna be for real. We didn't put that on. But just to not glaze over your question, I think that's the reason why we're pushing days of action, not just on particular days. We're saying days of action should happen every day. There should be not there should not be one day where a person does not do something positive for your community, yourself, and your family. And so that's why we've taken this position, is because the as Minister Malcolm said, that the days of the lie-in and the cry-in and the march-in and the sit-in and even on certain terms, the rallies and town halls on a lot of terms, they're outdated. They have to be done in a certain way to be effective. So that's why we've taken this position, sisters, is because we're an analytical party. We're an analytical organization, and we're not blind to the actual conditions of our people. We see what's happening, and so we're just like you. We want results. We're giving our lives, our careers, and some people even sacrificing their families to see the rise of black people and see our people free in every way, shape, form, and fashion. And so we're not here. Those that are serious activists and serious organizers, we're not here wasting our time. And so if we see something doesn't work, we're not, as a committee, I'm talking about as a national committee, we're not willing to repeat the same cycle over and over again. And so I'm saying to you that the New Black Panther Party does its own internal cleansing. It does its own evaluations. It does its own reconstruction. And we also take the advice of the people. We're the people's party. So we're weighing all of this to be more effective. And so I can't sit up and tell you that our sole mission and our sole purpose is to put on rallies or to put on town hall meetings. Those are just tools. Those are tools that at times are used to bring, awareness or to bring us together and organize us and to branch us off. But that's not all that we do. I say again, we have 10 points. We have 10 plain points and 9 local objectives that we're supposed to be focusing on and that we target for every day. And so that's the basis of anything that you see us do. Anything you see us do is going to come from a 10-point platform or a non-local objective. And to the second part, in terms of working with people, I say again that we're not a religion. So I can't, as the national spokesman of New Black Panther Party, have any sway over what happens in somebody's spirituality or their religion. But we are for black unity. We are for black unity. And so as long as we don't compromise our position and our points, and our points are clear, and our program is not compromised, and our work is not compromised, then we try our best to work with as many of our people as we can. And if there comes a point where we have to cut ties or not deal with it, then at that time that decision will be made. But we try to unify as much as we can around common points and principles.
I mean, I understand that point, but it's like, if you're trying to fix a house, right? You're trying to fix this house. You need certain brick, you need certain paint, you need certain things to lay up, to fix this house. And honestly, we as black people have to fix our house. Our house is steady being destroyed, And we can't patch it up. If you don't patch up a roof that's leaking, after a while, only thing that's going to happen, when you do try to, just patch it up and leave it alone and not try to really go and fix it, only thing that's eventually going to happen to that roof is the patch is going to get bigger. And it's like, honestly, when we, try to cover over dirt and, try to fix, just try to do something, it's really just wasting time, money, and we're not going to get nowhere like that.
What are you saying that we've done that we wasted time with?
I'm just saying, certain rallies, I just really think that things, because, if you look at every other ethnic group, all these other ethnic groups, they don't do as many rallies as us. They don't be out there shouting and yelling. We've been shouting and yelling for years. It ain't nothing really changing our communities. But other people could come from other places and have stores laid up, their own communities, news channels. What the hell, we as black people that's been here over 400 years truly got nothing, and we keep wasting money on dumb stuff like rallies. That's how I really feel about it. I know after this, me saying this, I might have some enemies, But if I'm speaking about truth, I'm going to speak what I feel. And what I feel is constantly doing these rallies, constantly marching, constantly, just showing our faces. This, honestly, sometimes, for real though, there is power in silence. Sometimes if you just shut the hell up and go and say, let us put our money together and open up our own store. Let us put our own money together and build our school, build our own houses. Then when our enemies see that, we took them by the element of surprise.
long as we keep going out there, you know, yelling and shouting and rallying, we never got nowhere doing the same taxes, and we never going to get nowhere doing that.
Go ahead. Sister, brother.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Your phone was loud. Go ahead.
Sister, I hear you. I feel you and your frustration. You say about rallies. Well, when Dr. Collie came to Jacksonville, he did a rally. And that rally resurrected me, sister, woke me up and put me on the right path here. So rallies can be constructive. Should we just solely function on rallying the community? No, we should be behind the scenes educating, teaching our youth economics, independence, teaching them a proper education, Sister Chrissy. That's how we're going to bring about a change. But the rally can be constructive. It depends on what we're teaching. If Dr. Collin had never came to Jacksonville, I would still be in my condition, sister, and he gave us great rallies. So how do we put it in that context? Do we say Dr. Collin should never have done rallies? So
Dr. Collin was a whole different school from a lot of these other leaders. What I'm saying is, like,
I know. Listen to me. I know. Listen, I want to finish. There are things that we can get out of these rallies. Should we solely function on the rally, sister? Many of us already know what to do, and we're not doing it, whether it's a rally around or not. Many of us know the knowledge. We're sitting on the knowledge, sister. So, you know, we have to take the information and apply it, you know, on a daily basis here. We really want to see change. If you want to bring about change, then you have to be the example. I myself in Jacksonville, there were no Muslim homes in Jacksonville, so I decided to go back to school. The first Muslim funeral home here. If I only felt like other people are coming here and getting all the money, and I would be on the sideline saying we have been affected by many black leaders, but we have not always we got to take this information. We got to go to work in our local areas. We got to take the 10-point platform, and we got to put it into practice. If we want to see a change, and change means you got to be that example. If you want to see difference going on, you got to start yourself, sister. So you may have to find like-minded sisters and brothers who will unite with you, pool resources, and y'all open up a store. We got it going on, but it's not on a large scale, sister. So we have to start somewhere. So, yeah, a lot of times we do waste a lot of energy on rallies, but I'm saying to you, it can be some good taking out of those rallies. Should we solely wait on our leaders to come and teach us? Sister, we are really well-taught. But the problem is we have fear. Many of us who know the knowledge are very fearful of losing our friendships with white folks. You know, I don't want to lose out here. So I know the knowledge, but I'll stay on the ground. I'll wear my slave name, but I'll represent and say that I'm a freedom fighter. We got a lot of that going on, sister. And I was in New York, and most of the business was owned by outside forces. In New York. So what happens in New York is happening all over America. Again, sister, we have to be example to our people. And I know many of us are impatient and frustrated, but you got to start with self and then work with other people who have a collective mindset like you have, and then you'll bring about change.
Yes, I definitely understand. I mean, like, for me personally, right, and, like, for our comrades, like, you know, I'm constantly out there reaching, especially, right, like, the youth. You know, I teach them all the time. You know, if I see somebody hungry, you know, I give them food. You know.
There you go. We don't want to make our people dependent on handouts either now. We want to teach them how to go through, because many of our people get complacent when they see you feeding them all the time. They say, I ain't never got to work because somebody's going to take care of my ends for me. So we have to teach them how to become self-sufficient too. Yeah, we got to help them themselves, but we also got to show them a better way. So if not, they'll become a heavy burden on you. And you know, we cannot finance everybody in the community. It's very impossible to do it.
And the thing is that you know, we stand on, you know, not solely, but we stand on what Minister Malcolm said when he said by any means necessary. That's by any means. And so we're saying that we our position is, we've never said that a rally or a town hall meeting is all of the tools that we use. It's not. We have people, you know, that are organizing on the ground. And anybody who's with us is free to organize on the ground. Dr. Malik Shabazz, myself, the National Central Committee, nobody has ever handcuffed any soldier and said, if you see somebody hungry, don't go feed them. We've never done that, have we? We have never ever said that if you see your people in need, don't go deal with it. We've never even suggested it. That is our program. Our program is to serve our people. And so what I would suggest to you and to anybody listening is to take charge of your post. You know what I mean? Because we're going to use all kind of tools. You got to understand that the national chairman is an international figure. He's not going to think one dimensional. He thinks multidimensional, and when he does things, he does things for a strategic move. So with that said, you still have a responsibility, like I have a responsibility, to deal with the condition of our people on the ground where we are. And so if you have homeless people that are there and they need clothes, then as a Panther or as a concerned person, an activist, it's your duty and my duty, our duty, to put clothes on their back. That never changes. I don't care how many rallies are done or what is said or what speeches, it don't matter. Our duty is to service our people. That's hands down. So I mean that's self-explanatory.
That should really go. I mean, we love our people. That should go without saying. But what I'm basically saying, right, is that those the big bosses, the one with the money. You know what I mean? Like regardless of whatever, I could try to do whatever I can do, which I do all the time. You know what I mean? But at the same token, with that, the ones with the big money, the ones that could drive in a Lexus, the ones that could live in nice homes, you know what I mean? The ones that got it, why not take that money, you know what I mean, and really try to do something in a black community here? I mean, because another thing, too, another point
I
want to go
nice.
Through is...
Huh? I mean, it'd be, I'm saying
let's,
it would be
can,
nice,
can I,
but...
Can
but,
I say this?
Let yeah,
let
but
me
I mean, we're
this.
Not we're not dreamers, though. We're not dreamers. Go ahead, bro.
Let me say this. Chrissy, we are dealing with a people who are sick. We're dealing with a people who are in great need of healing. Okay?
Uh-huh.
We're dealing with a people since that we have to take step by step.
Okay.
I was in a rally a few weeks ago with people who'd never been in a rally before.
Uh-huh.
Their son was murdered by the Philadelphia police. These people didn't know what to do. So a rally was their first step towards getting justice for their son.
Mm-hmm.
See, what kills me is how folks talk about what other people should do with their money. We can't worry about what somebody else is doing with their money. Because now that puts you in a position, sister, of reliance. You're looking for somebody with all this money to get us out of this condition or get some people out of a condition. Sister, you have to realize, I just got to be real, hell, if they haven't done it by now, they ain't going to do it. So this is the job of the new Black Panther Party. This is the job of the National Days of Action. Every day. We should be striving to feed and clothe our people every day. But dynamics of 2011 is different between the dynamics from the 60s. Half of these stores in our community, hell, we got a damn near threaten them to boycott with a boycott on their behinds if they don't donate some food so we can put on a food and clothing drive.
Right.
So we're dealing with the people, sister, that has to be walked, that has to, learn how to crawl properly before they can stand up on their own and walk properly. We are the vanguard of our people, regardless to whom or what. We are the vanguard. Do you know what that means? That means we are the ones who will take charge of our post and all Black Nation property in view.
Right, we're the prime example. I understand that.
Sister, listen to me. If it takes a rally, as Brother McHale said, that's how he came back to life. If it takes a rally to help motivate and show our people how to organize, because, again, a lot of our people are Sister Lady J called. She don't know what to do. You understand what I mean? We have many people of different situations, sister, that we have to pay attention to. Everybody's not going to be a frontline soldier. So we have to deal with those folks with where they are.
We can't turn somebody who ain't got no knowledge of self and don't know nothing about no revolution and put a gun in their hand and say, go kill some white folks.
Right.
That's not going to happen. That's ass backwards. That person has to be taught. He has to be opened up to blackness first. He has to love, he or she has to love what it is to be black and understand why they are in this struggle. First,
that's right, brother.
Before we even get to the guns and all that.
We got
to
get them other questions in, Simon. We got to get the other questions
in. All right.
We got a few minutes.
So we can't knock the rallies. I mean, me personally, I'm tired of it, but hell, it's necessary, sister, because a lot of our people don't know what to do, and this is a stepping stone for them. Some
That's
rallies
right.
are effective. The rallies in Egypt weren't effective.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, since we're not telling you that you have to just do a rally, you would never hear us tell you that you only have to do a rally or a town. I mean, we're just saying use the tools and use your mind to help our people get free. If it happens to be a rally, then use that. If it's you know, mentoring the youth like you do, then use that. Use the tools. We're not handcuffing you. Dr. Malik Shabazz gave everyone under his charge license to do good for black people. We're not handcuffing
sure.
you. You're not handcuffed in this organization.
If
you
got more than five youth sitting amongst you, hell, that's a rally.
That's right.
You don't have to be a carbon copy of the next man or next woman. You got to do that program though.
All right, and I have one last question. I'm gonna hurry up and go because I know y'all got other people. My next thing is too. Now I know we're supposed to be patriotic and everything, you know, reach back to Africa and all, but we have a lot of hell going on here ourselves. We got our young brothers constantly locked up. Our young brothers constantly dying. You know, can't get hired. You know, go to college. Those that are just right from here in the hills of North America can't get financial aid to pay for their college education. You know, you go off to war, you don't get your GI Bill, all these things, but we want to, like, reach out to other places. Now, I don't say, like, and I'm not speaking against it, but what I'm saying is, well, how can we possibly clean up somebody else's home when ours is messed up? Our home is terrible. It's messed up, but we always want to reach out to other people and tell you the truth, the same people that we reach out to. Don't look at us as part of them, number one. Number two, when they do come here, they look down on us. Number three, when they do come here, they're able to open up stores because they get loans.
Sister, I have to stop you. I must. I really have to stop you with that, seriously. Because, number one, the very patch that you wear, Queen, represents what we say, where we say we're reaching out to. So you cannot kind of make the statement, we got to clean up our own home. Hell, Africa is our home. The white man makes no excuses. Listen to me, sis. The white man makes no excuses when it comes to aid to their motherland. They make no excuses. I don't give a damn how many Africans come from Africa and spit on me. I'm going to kick their ass, don't get me wrong. But Africa is still my home, sister. They suffer from white supremacy just like we do here in America. So they come here with the ideology of white supremacy. They're not African. They may be from Africa, but hell, they act just like the cracker.
They're colonized.
You know what I'm saying? So we cannot use that as an excuse on why we should not reach out to our own family when the Chinese, even the damn Latinos, eight brothers in all these stores in your hood, they send money back to their families. They don't make no excuse. Oh, I hate my cousin because he screwed my wife. I ain't sending no money home. Yeah, I know they starving and no clothes and no food and they barely got water running in the entire community. They have no sanitation. They have no way of growing crops at all. And, hell, they're miseducated. But I ain't sending nothing home. But we
no,
say
I'm
we
not
love
saying don't send nothing home.
Say
what I'm saying is, what I'm saying is this. We need to, like, you know, pour out our resources to us first, and then, yes, help them.
Sister,
look,
sister, we do that, sister. We do that. Every time you go out and teach one of the youth you say you teach, you're cleaning up your home. Every time you feed somebody, sister, you're cleaning up your home. Every time you clothe somebody, you're cleaning up your home.
But it's not going to just, it can't just be the new Black Panther Party alone doing it. But if we don't reach out to where, to what we wear and represent, hell, we might as well take off the entire damn uniform, never even mention Marcus Garvey's name again, never even mention John Henry Clark's name again, never even mention Khalid Muhammad again.
That's right.
Yeah, and go ahead, Makia.
Well, I just say that sister has to continue to grow and educate herself and become part of the solution. And like we said, each one teach one. If you see one in need, just step up to the bat, sister, and give your assistance. And our effort should be toward our homeland first and our people second. But we got to help self, but we also got to understand that we are trying to build strategic alliances, sister. And
right,
we don't have to with anybody right now. So we have to connect with our brothers. A wise man showed us a blueprint. He had one black man from America and another black man from Africa reaching across the Atlantic. So we have to remember the bigger picture.
And then again, I got to keep it plain. Again, our job is to destroy white supremacy wherever we find it, You know, a revolutionary makes revolutions. So the head of the snake is right here in the hells of North America. That's the beast we're dealing with right here. And then that head of that snake extends across the globe. And so, like we say in our program, the same rabid dog that bites us bites them too. And so if we can empower our people to repel U.S. imperialism, as what you see we're going on in our mother country right now, the raping and pillaging the land, taking our resources, taking our manuscripts, taking our libraries, disrespecting our elders. I'm talking about our elders in the airports, pushing them down, all this type of stuff that happens.
On top of
setting up their own leadership. All of this is stuff that has to be addressed as a black nation. That's why we say we're Pan-Africanists. A Pan-Africanist, as taught by the Honorable Stokely Carmichael, later known as Kwame Ture, he said that wherever you find one African in the world, that's the same African you find somewhere else. If you in Ghana, another one's in the island of the Pacific, if another one's here in the hills of North America, we all one family. We are one family. So if somebody's kicking your cousins behind overseas, then that's your family. And even if our people come over here without the knowledge of self, because you got to keep in mind, sis, they didn't go through 400 years of mental brainwashing like we did here. So when they look at us, they look at us like we Frankenstein. They don't look at us like we connected because we are disconnected. We don't have our original names, language, culture, religion, folkways. We don't have none of that. So we are a different product. We are absolutely niggas in America. Been made niggas, been made slaves in America. We're a different product that we're trying to reverse the cycle. And so that's why they look at us like that. And so that's why it's up to us to show them that we do have the best of civilization, that we are a part of you, that we know where we come from, but that we have a different experience that we're dealing with here in America. So you got to be willing to extend your hand too, and if they don't extend their hand, then hopefully over time they will, but if they don't, you got to keep it moving.
Right.
So
I mean, looking at it that way, I completely understand that. You know, it just that, you know, it hurts me because, I mean, in New York, trust me, it's what you call a melting pot, and you have everybody here. Now, you have very few that, you know, it's for the black cause and everything, but it's a lot of them that stand up against the black cause. You know, and then they just say, oh, Kasi, we got to help them. It kind of hurts, but I do understand at the same time that we have to make our alliances, and the reason why, the way that, you know, your brothers broke it down, but I don't know, I guess we just got a long way to go.
We got a long way to go, but guess what? We already won the battle because we're fighting the battle. So let me get these other calls. And sis, thank you so much for your call. We love you, number love for you. Black power to you, sis.
Love you too, black power.
Black power.
All right. Hey, guys, got another question then. We got about 10 strong minutes. Let's try to keep our answers short here as best we can.
Okay.
But this got a question from Asar Sanford who wants to know, can Dominicans and Puerto Ricans and Asians join the party? And second part of that question is, why does the NVPP support Minister Farrakhan and his Scientology? I think we did answer that, but somebody can talk about that.
Well, to the first question,
can the Dominicans and Republic
to say,
Puerto Ricans
and just be completely real, no.
Dominicans and Asians cannot join the new Black Panther Party because, hell, I mean, for the Latinos, they are the brown berets.
Right.
As far as, well, then again, I have to really retract that because the Black Panther Party had Richard Aoki as National Field Marshal.
Yeah, but that was their formation, though.
Exactly. So this is where I'm going now, which will lead back to my statement. Until we do for ourselves as African people, we will always be dependent on somebody else. Our founder of the new Black Panther Party, Aaron Michaels, stated that as much as we, you know, work closely with Dominicans and the Latino people, our brown brothers and sisters, some things we have to do for ourselves.
That's right.
I mean, hell, the Latino people ain't hiring no Black people to work in their stores. The Asians are not hiring Black people to work in the Chinese restaurant.
That's right.
I mean, let's just be real. So until the Black man and Black woman do for our own selves, and Africa for the African is our ideology,
yes, sir,
then we will always be relying on somebody else. So this is something I must say that we must do on our own as Black people. Now, we align ourselves with our brown brothers. We work with our brown brothers, our Mexican brothers and sisters. But as far as joining our ranks, I mean, hell, y'all got a whole lot of stuff. But the Brown Berets was created more specifically for that reason. Let's just put it out there.
That's right.
So
yeah, exactly. No, this is a pro Black party. It's an all Black party. It's designed for the children of African slaves, descendants of slaves. And for us that are here in the hills of North America, for our own political control of our own communities and our own destinies. And so we're Black nationalists, and that's exactly what that means. Second part of the question, we did answer it. Why do the MBPP support Minister Farrakhan and Scientology? To be clear, I don't think that Minister Farrakhan has publicly said he's promoting Scientology. Just for the record, he's promoting Dianetics, which is a study, I guess, through their course. But as our national chairman said, we respect our elders. That's just really what that is. We respect our elders, and we respect the brother's accomplishments, the Black man's accomplishments, and his dedication to our people over 50 years. And that's what that is. And just like we do with Chairman O'Malley Yeshiteli, just like we do with so many others, who, you know, have their own paths and their own religions, their own cultures. We're respectful. We are respectful. Doesn't mean that we're co-signing. Doesn't mean that we're saying that this is what everybody should do, but that
right.
We are respectful. Just as we
have
respect
our own
anyone.
Agenda.
Right,
exactly.
But
as our program says, we are respectful to all people and demand the same in return. Go ahead, Brother McHale.
We can work with them, brother, for the greater good of the Black nation. And we don't have to compromise the position of the new Black Panther Party down here in Jacksonville and throughout the state of Florida. I work with different people. Doesn't necessarily mean I subscribe to their ideology, brother. But we have to unite for the common good of our people wherever we can. We're not going to agree on everything. But it looks a lot better to see collective unity, one of the seven principles of Nguzo Saba.
Exactly.
We can, brother, because no one group, no one organization, our leader can solve this problem by ourselves.
Exactly. Let me get the next question. We only got about 5 minutes left in here. The next question, they want to ask. They're really on this biracial thing tonight. We must open up a can of worms on that. Having a biracial family members say makes you have mixed loyalties. So is the NVPP a Black nationalist organization, or do they accept white people to fund them?
No, we don't.
Man.
That's for the white man's money. But let's be honest.
most of us go to the white man's job. So in essence, he does fund us in one manner, brother. Do we directly fund us? Hell no. He wants to destroy the new Black Panther Party. Again, we're not an integrationist movement. We're pro-black. Some of these questions, brother, really are a distraction and a diversion.
Of course, of course. But I mean, we have to answer them, though. See, what I'm saying is, if we don't answer it, then it's just letting it exist. So you have to have an official answer. Got to get an answer.
The Black Panther Party is not an integrationist movement, and that should be the end of all those questions, brother. We don't believe in integration with the white woman, no matter how much she want to be black and no matter how many babies she have. We believe in independence and separation, a land of our own with our own people. Black power.
All right, black power. Let's see here. The second question here was, does the NBPP have its own flag? Do we have our own flag?
Yes, it's the red, black, and green.
Is the red, exactly. I mean, that's what it is. We RBG.
Is. Red, black, and green.
Yeah,
that's our flag.
Yeah. Yeah, we straight up. We
next
RBG.
Definitely not connected.
Well, I mean, but you know, I just with respect, I mean, you would be. I mean, you all see it like we see it. I mean,
yeah,
some of this stuff really holds weight with people, and they really, you know, you all don't have no flag and this, that, and the other. Let me try to get this last the call in here. 504-432. You're on the air at the New Black Panther Party. Give us your question, and we're gonna get into it. Black power.
Black power. All power to the people, but black power.
Power to the people and black power for black people. Go ahead.
This is what I want to see. Are y'all trying to do like what the original Panther did back in the day, like with programs and stuff like that to educate the people, like the free breakfast program, the free busing program, I forgot the rest of the program, but, you know, just keeping up with the programs and stuff.
Well, the white man in his school system run the breakfast program, sir. So every morning between 7 and 8 o'clock, black children can go to the prison system called the public school and get a carton of milk or maybe a donut. But our programs are the same, sir. We feed and clothe people. We educate our people. I mean, if you just look on our website, you'll see the National Days of Action. April 23rd, June 25th, and another one coming October the 1st. So our programs do exist. We have some chapters who actually are operating their own schools now within their city and their state under this ideology of black nationalism and pan-Africanism.
Yeah, absolutely, brother. We, to answer your question, as Nancy from Marshall said, we are absolutely trying our best to hold the line and to keep the legacy of the Panther Party of the 60s intact as best we can. Now, you have to understand that you know, the system, the white man and his order has co-opted many of those programs, because through COINTELPRO, they were saying that they understood that by us having breakfast programs and the things that we were doing, that we were able to educate our own children or educate our own community, and they considered that a threat. And so what they did was they co-opted it and made it governmental. Like, for example, the WIC program that many of our people have, the Women, Infant, and Children's program, where you get your Kick cereal and your milk and your Juicy Juice, that was an original Panther program. The Women, Infant, and Children program was an original Panther program that the government co-opted so that we would not have access, immediate access to the people, that the people would not immediately come to the Panther Party, but that they would go to the establishment. And so what our challenge is today, brother, is to now find the programs that are applicable to our people's conditions and to the situation that we now face, because the enemy, as we put things forth into the world, the enemy co-opts it and uses it for their own gain. So that's our challenge today. But the programs that we do have are staple programs, and we are continuing every day to work to develop more programs, brother. So any that you have to suggest, and I know you were talking about like George Jackson Medical Clinic and the ambulance program, we're familiar with all of that. And it's just a matter of us pulling our resources, and we don't want to speak ahead of our ability to do. And so we're dedicated to every program that every Black Panther Party member produced in the 60s. And hopefully over time we'll be able to reproduce them all.
All right. But it takes your help, sir.
Okay. Oh, and another thing I wanted to say. Now, I know y'all don't talk about I knew y'all was talking about Lil Wayne earlier, but I don't hear too. I mean, I don't see. A lot of people don't really talk about Tupac too much.
Love Pac. Let me just tell you, because we got a few seconds left. Love Pac. Pac is our comrade. Pac is a Panther Cub. One of our ideological standard bearers. You know, he's a man who we honor and revere. We were just there in Atlanta, Georgia, for the Day of Action, June 25th, at the Tupac Amaru Shakur Center, which you can go to the website, dayofactionmovement.org, and look at the speech by our national chairman right there at the Tupac Center. Pac, we feel like, is the man. He's ahead of his time. He was organizing the gangs, organizing with the code of thug life. Got nothing but respect and love for Tupac Amaru Shakur, and within the next couple of weeks, I'm going to have one of his comrades, Brother Nutso, from the Outlaw Clique.